I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bo Bishop, he's a man of many talents. Former Montana rodeo champion.
Maybe.
Successful talking head on television. Drinker of fine spirits. And as you're about to hear... Friend to Dummies.
Just guys running around in their, like, spandex underwear.
This is Bishop and Friends.
You see, the bells almost fool you. They can almost trick you into getting fired up. I will be by the time it gets to tomorrow, but 38-point favorites in Evanston as we do it live on a Football Friday. I got an email, fellas, from Rod yesterday that I wanted to share with you guys because I think it probably best articulates the mindset of a Buckeye fan as we embark on the November slate with a trip to Northwestern. And we'll see if you guys who are both highly educated can pick out the one phrase that isn't mentioned anywhere here. So this is an email I got from Rod. Good email. He said, I was pondering today about who I would want Ohio State to play in the college football playoff. Right now, Tennessee scares me the most due to our weak secondary. However, I don't think Georgia is a slouch either. As of now, I'm thinking I would rather have Georgia, Clemson, and the weakest Alabama I've seen in years. Michigan is making me worried that their matchup with each passing week. I think if Ohio State plays its game in clean football, they should be positioned for a win. Also, I'm getting fatigued with the annual positioning of two SEC teams as they always have a rep in the final or a two SEC final. What word was mentioned once in there? What team was not mentioned once?
What team was...
He left out Illinois.
Right. The entire state. But also Northwestern.
Right.
This is where we are. This is what this is going to be like. We talked about this last week with Penn State. To drink it in. Bathe in the glory of a great game against a worthy opponent. Because you're not going to have one... For the next 3 weeks, it starts tomorrow in Evanston. It will continue against Indiana here, and then it will continue to a little bit of a lesser extent, potentially just because there's some danger on the outside at Maryland. But you are going to be at least a four-touchdown favorite in all three of these games. And so, a collective Buckeye Nation, your mind wanders. And I don't blame you. Mind wanders. I am far more concerned, interested in what I see from Tennessee and Georgia in the afternoon or Alabama and LSU in the evening. Hell, I'm interested to see how convincing Michigan is against Rutgers at night. All of those things are intriguing to me. Us against Northwestern, get out of it alive, don't get anybody hurt, and on to the next week. There's nothing that Ohio State can do tomorrow in this game that will leave me impressed. My expectation is they're up 40-something to nothing at half. So the only thing that can come of it, and this speaks to something we've talked about a lot this season, the only feeling that you can have is one of negativity.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't do that, if they're not up 35-0 at half, you go, what is going on? Why these guys suck? Why can't we move the ball on them? That's the only emotion that you can have. You cannot watch this game. I'm as guilty as all of you out there listening, probably as guilty as the two of you. There's no positive emotion that can come from this.
Yeah, it's like down to the point where I remember like the Arkansas State game when they picked up a few third downs and you're just like, you're sitting there like, what is wrong with the defense? I thought we had it all figured out. Jim Knowles had a great plan against Notre Dame, all this stuff. And it's like, well, settle down. You're up by three touchdowns. It's going to be okay. Like that kind of stuff. It happens because, you know, you got to remember the other team is trying. And it's interesting. You're talking about that email and looking at all the other teams that Ohio State either has on their schedule or could play down the road. And one of the most annoying things that we get, and I haven't noticed it as much lately, maybe people are finally getting past it, but you ever get the tweets that are like, hey, just focus on the opponent in front of you. Don't think ahead. And it's like, I'm not on the team. I can think about whatever I want. I'm not going to get distracted about Northwestern because it doesn't matter what I'm distracted about.
No, it's just proven every day.
This is something that I'll reiterate later on in the show, but I feel like the Bernie Sanders meme where I am once again asking Ryan Day to allow Kyle McCord to run the full complement of Ohio State's offense.
Yeah, this is what we do.
That's what I'm looking for tomorrow. If it's going to be windy and crappy and they're not going to cut the grass, then you're looking for a heavy dose of Travion, some Mion. Hey, T.C. Caffey, if you want to get a couple carries, that'd be wonderful. But If Kyle McCord's able to go in third quarter, fourth quarter, allow him to try to throw in the elements. Like, this is a great game not only to get reps against a team that's not you, but it's also a great time to try and play in the elements, because how often do we get that, really?
Well, also, the other part of it is, you know, we've seen this a couple of times this year, guys, where Ryan Day will manufacture situations.
Good. You know, do plenty of that.
Manufacture. Okay, it's almost like practice. Okay, we've got the ball on our own 35 with no timeouts and 45 seconds. Can we score? Like, I think that those type of things are in play. And
unfortunately,
I say
Reese, sorry, I just want to TC yep. Caffey's out for the year.
That's right, he's out for the season.
Sad.
Could see Chip train him. He's moving back there.
Because he is practicing full-time with the running backs now, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Here's the deal, is this situation with the manufacturing and all of this, this is not in any way disrespect to Northwestern. I think anybody out there listening, anybody on that staff, you want to talk about programs that you respect as much as any in our league, it's probably this one. Not because they're a threat, but because despite all of their things that they have going against them, just getting a text from Threes. Scouting report as we're going through this. Just going through all of the things that are against Northwestern, Pat Fitzgerald consistently hits his head on the ceiling of what that program can be. Now, he's also changed that ceiling, right? They're playing for Big Ten championships. They've done it a couple of times. Their facilities now are as good as any in the Big Ten. It's a stunning accomplishment. And they're building a new football stadium. So they're all in with what their ceiling is. And I do think that in an odd way, it's almost like Northwestern has become what Stanford used to be under Harbaugh the first time in the early Shaw years, where they've got dudes and they win a lot of games and they can win their side of the conference. There's a ceiling on it, but that's what they've been. This just is not that year. This is a really bad Northwestern team.
Although I am a little worried that they might be like Stanford, falling out of that. There could be a chance that this is happening, because this is 2 years in a row that they've been really bad.
Yeah, well, it's hard. He's trying to.
They keep trying to bring in transfer quarterbacks, and none of them are hitting. And it's not working. And because it felt like for a decade plus, they had like the same guy. The Trevor Siemian was back there. I can't even remember all their names, but it was the same guy. He was like 6'2", could run a little bit, and they would dink and dunk down the field. And now they have not quite been able to regenerate that. And so they've basically turned into a one-dimensional offense that tries to run the ball, but they just don't have the dudes to run the ball consistently in the Big Ten.
And I also think it's run the ball and play exceptional defense. And that has been very lacking for Northwestern the past two seasons. Now they had like...
Unless they're in Dublin.
Well, yeah, so they're winners in Ireland, which is, you know, good for them. But it felt like for a decade there, they at least had one or two guys at linebacker for 4 years. And they kind of just rotated in and out of a dude at linebacker that could really command a defense that would frustrate and cause a lot of chaos and takeaways.
Yeah, where's their Patty Fisher nowadays?
It's been a minute since they've had that. It's pretty amazing. You look at Fitzgerald's run, and Randy Walker, you know, and Gary Barnett, you know, they both kind of got it going. Barnett did it first in the mid-90s. It's remarkable. Since Pat's been there, he's got a nine. Let's look. He's got a nine-win season. He's got 3 10-win seasons.
3 years removed from a Big Ten title appearance.
Yeah, it's
and he's
a
done that twice.
Thing. He has done that twice. So, it's a remarkable thing that he's played for two Big Ten championships while playing at Northwestern. Once in the COVID year, and once in 2018, where they were 8-1 in the league. It's crazy.
But they were 0-4 in their out of conference schedule.
Wild, but that's them, right? Right. And so probably the peak of them was in 2017 and 2018 when he went 10-3, 9-5. We've spent too much time on Northwestern as it is. Let's go back to the email that we started the show with. What was the other line in there? And this is, we talked about this. Now, two instances where I've had where it crosses across in front of my plane that Michigan is back, that the rivalry is back. So we had it at Trick or Treat on Monday. And now we have it here in an email with Rod. I believe his name is Rod. Is getting worried. As Rod is worried, Michigan is making me worried about that matchup with each passing week. So we're back, baby.
That's healthy, right?
That is very healthy. There was a long time where anytime people would come up to me and say, "Oh, don't sleep on the rivalry," and I would say, "No, you can. They suck. They sucked for a while. They don't anymore. They got us last year. They are due their respect. They have." It's interesting. It took Harbaugh this long, and it's almost like he stumbled into it, to understand to not try and out-finesse Ohio State, and then to just get back to what he was doing at Stanford, and that was to just be physical and run the ball and be simple and stick with it. They did it last year against us. We hired Jim Knowles to fix it. We've got between now and four Fridays from now to make sure that we pass that test. And so everything you do between now and then is just building towards that game and making sure that you're prepared for it. This game Saturday at Northwestern is not going to prepare you for it. Get out of it healthy. Hope for the best. Indiana's not going to prepare it for it. Maryland's not going to prepare you for it in terms of their style of play. So the preparation for Michigan, my guess is they're already doing it. I mean, I'm sure they still have the Michigan period every practice. Those will amp up here over the next 3 weeks leading into that game. They are the biggest threat on the schedule. They're a real threat. They're here. There's certainly a lot of revenge factor. There's a bad taste in your mouth. All the comments from Harbaugh. That's what's in the back of everybody's mind.
It does.
So get from here to there without injury and continue to be better as a football team. That's the challenge of it.
Like this week against Northwestern, maybe the way they've been running the ball, some of the concepts might be able to hold over for your Michigan prep. But then the following 2 weeks, you're right about the way that Indiana and Maryland run offense. That's not the like way to prepare. So when they're preparing for those teams specifically, that's not really going to help you in the Michigan one. So I think, yeah, they are going to have to focus on some of those other attributes to their defensive game that are going to be effective against Michigan. I don't think it's crazy to look at the way Michigan's playing this year. And while they may have fallen off just slightly on the defense, you know, losing an Aiden Hutchinson isn't something that you just replace right away.
Lost a job on two chops, remember?
Yes.
Both of them.
And,
yep.
But even with that, I think overall as a team, I think they're better this year.
They're better offensively. I think we can certainly say that. Those two defensive ends are pros, so that's they don't have that type of weaponry in terms of an ability to. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson wrecked the game for us. They don't have that, but they are really deep. They're well coached, and here we are, November 4th, thinking about them again. And it's the first time in a long time that you could say that was the case. In fact, I don't know since I've been here. So that's 07, year after Game of the Century, when Rich Rod came in here with that. Or no, that was up there first. Rich Rod was 08 when that happened. There was no fear. There's been no fear that you would lose this game. It really hasn't been. Even when they've been close, whether it was Tyvus's interception in the game in 2013 or even the loss that Luke had that year, you know, you're playing without so many guys and you still felt like, you know, let Posey get loose, you know, like that, those type of things. So it's back though in that sense. So that's the task for Ryan Day, is get through the next 3 weeks without injury, while staying sharp, because you were pretty sharp in the fourth quarter against Penn State, continuing to have physical football, and be ready for that game at the end of the month. That's the task.
One more thing that adds to the rivalry this year is you look at players who are in their third season. Yep. They have not beat Michigan because we didn't play them in the pandemic year because it got canceled, and then you lost last year. So that's an interesting fold for Ohio State players. When we've had a lot of classes who've won all four of the years they've been here, and now we've got guys in their third year and have not tasted beating Michigan yet.
Yeah, there's some of like the seniors that have gold pants, and then there's CJ Stroud. Yeah. He's pantsless.
Yeah. No, it's time. And it's so that one will have a certain uptick to it, even from what we're used to, and that one's always got plenty of it. The task is getting from here to there without injury while maintaining your sharpness and continue to be one of the best teams in the country. If you go back to Rod's email, all of his things are well thought out, and it's kind of a window into the eye of probably how all of us are thinking, quite frankly. Lots to get to. You get you set for this one. You'll hear from the participants. We'll get you an update on the weather and what it could be at Northwestern. Threes with the weather report from South Bend's not looking too great. We'll get to that as well. Sports last night, you've got a World Series that has the Astros now a game away and a Thursday night football game in which the Eagles did not cover. Boo, bad job out of them. Tim will join us. Doug will join us. Jody will join us. Our first ever Finland guest. That's happening.
Is he our Finnish correspondent now?
He's going to be. That's how I'm going to introduce him.
He's going to help us finish the show.
Helsinki Bureau Chief. I think that's how we'll introduce him. So we're lock and loaded here on a Football Friday edition, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat, because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
And getting cash out of your home doesn't mean you have to do a full-blown refinance. No, 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 my friends. Neighborhood Lender now offering fast, easy home equity loans. Neighborhood Lender can let you get cash out of your home, and they can do it for you right now. Cash for the holidays, cash to pay off credit cards, Cash to pay off other high-interest debt, and it's a great time to do it. Borrowing from your home is a lot smarter than borrowing from the bank. Neighborhood Lenders Home Equity Line can let you tap a specific amount of your home's equity without touching your low primary mortgage rate. You can access up to 95% of your home's value if you want to, and you probably won't even need an appraisal. Call Neighborhood Lender today. Use your home to get the cash you need to get yourself in a better financial position for the new year. That number is 614-882-LOAN. That's 614-882-LOAN. NeighborhoodLender.com. 614-882-LOAN. Neighborhood Lender is an equal housing lender. NMLS 69349 and subject to lender approval. Is this a real day on November 4th? Like this type of warmth? 70s? This is where we are. I'm outside getting shots up yesterday with the fellas, with the boys. Shorts and t-shirts. Putting Bootsy. Bootsy's got his first game tomorrow, 10 a.m. NBC and Beamsy both go doubleheaders on Sunday. So we're loaded up. Hoops is here. But we were able to go outside, get some shots up on the court. Beautiful. Gorgeous.
I said to J-Lo yesterday, it's like weather roulette every time I step out of the door. I have no idea what to expect. In the morning yesterday, it's in the low 40s and it's pretty cold out. This morning, it's 54. But I took the dog for a walk yesterday afternoon and I regretted wearing a hoodie. It's like I have no idea what to expect anytime I walk out of the door.
I'm for all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm for this. This is bonus babies. These are bonus babies.
Do we not feel like we're going to pay for it, though, in February?
Okay. This is how I rationalize. Thanks, Reese. Bum, bum, ba, bum, bum. Here's what I would say. My hope is, this is my working title, if you will, in my brain. Remember, September kind of sucked. We didn't get glorious September. There were several weekends with a lot of rain. We didn't have like the pristine September that we're accustomed to. What I'm telling myself that as opposed to being punished in February for this, this is the reward. Because we've had a great October. October's been solid.
Yeah, October was great.
It's been awesome. And now we're first week of November and we've got 70. Tomorrow's going to be spectacular. And so that's what I don't want to, I'm trying to be glasses half full because I can get in the dumps about this by the time we get to February and March. By the time it's Buckeye Cruise time, let's go. Get me the sun.
March,
end of February, let's go.
March is where it really gets me. I can still deal with the snow and the cold in January and February. It's supposed to be cold. Then it's March when it's like you're getting sleet and all the snow is gray and you're scraping your windshield every morning. But then it's like kind of sunny sometimes. March, I think, is the worst weather month.
I think that's because you don't have kids. So March, we get spring break.
Mm.
So at least I have that. I've got a week of sun somewhere.
You know where I used to go for spring break? Guttenberg, Iowa. It was
fantastic. Fantastic. Good beaches?
It's right on the Mississippi. Yeah. Dive right in.
That's all you need. A little bit of beach time. Got an email from Michael about the Amazon broadcast last night. Well, what were you guys World Series or did, because you can't flip with Amazon. You got to either do two screens or it's one screen only.
You can do two screens. That's what
you
got to
go two screens. It's the only way. Yeah.
I was
Amazon. Which was your primary interest? You were Amazon?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Reese, you were World Series.
I had World Series on the big screen and then I had my computer up with Amazon.
Yeah. I watched a little of the football and a little of the baseball. Neither one was something that I was on for an hour even. It was popping in and out, seeing what else was out there. I did get this from Michael, and he was questioning about, it was a question he had about the Amazon broadcast. Said that on his, it looked a little strange. It was almost like that Michaels and Herbie were broadcasting like replay, that like the video quality. The one thing that I have heard, I haven't had this yet, but I did notice it a couple of weeks ago when I've noticed that if I'm watching the game, I have no idea if scientifically this is backed up, but I've noticed that if I'm streaming the game in like my office and the boys are doing like Xbox, that the quality comes down.
Only so much bandwidth.
That's what I'm wondering if that's what happened to Michael last night, because I'm like last night it was pristine here. Did you guys notice anything with yours?
Yeah, I thought it was fine last night. I had the first week the like audio and the video weren't quite synced up, but I haven't had that issue since. So I've been pretty good with it. Last night I was actually two screening it: Sopranos on one TV,
that's
football game on the other.
That so the HBO's been getting me this week because they have done like this week they've done blocks on one of the HBO channels where they've done like Sopranos or The Wire episodes, like a full night of them. So, like, of course,
that's
like
perfect for flipping.
Oh, I'm hopping
and
in on that.
And they're never on commercials, so you're really good.
No, so anytime I see that, I'm going into that. So last night I was World Series into that, and then I checked out White Lotus a little bit last night as well.
What'd you think? I'll just ask this. Is it enough for you to be interested in a second season that's coming out?
They're doing another one?
Yes.
The second season just started. Episode one was Sunday.
Yeah, have you seen that? So are you talking about last year's when they're in
Hawaii?
I'm
talking about the one in Hawaii.
This year it's in Sicily.
Okay.
So this was episode one of the second season debuted Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So I checked it out. I watched some of it last night. I don't think the magic from the first season is repeated.
I was not interested in the second
season. Yeah, I think off the top, I was much more interested in like what's going on. And they tried to set it up the same where it's like, here's something that happens after the week. And how does it get to here? And it's
more
like,
murder.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm as interested this time.
I think the key to the whole first season, though, was the guy who ran the resort, right?
Right.
He was unbelievable. Like, I think you have to make sure that guy stays alive. Spoiler alert for those of you who didn't see the first season. And then send him to another resort.
Yeah, and like...
just make him... because he was the whole operation. Yes, he's
one
transferred
line
to Sicily.
What are you doing here? Got to transfer.
Why are you here? Like, he was who I would like to see more of.
And like, I get it, they're in Sicily, but that character this year is speaking Italian. And so jokes don't always land as well when you're reading subtitles.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I'll watch it. It'll probably be something like last night where I'm watching the World Series. It goes to commercial. I'll watch for 5 minutes, then I'll come back to the... that's what I did last night.
That'll be a really like that's how Swiss cheese version of it.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it intently the way that I did. The Astros are a win away from the World Series. They beat the Phillies 3-2. The next two games are both at their place. Justin Verlander gets his first World Series win. He was previously 0-6 in the World Series. He'll get his second. I mean, this is a guy who played all those years in Detroit when they had all that talent and Mike Ilitch was alive and they were spending all that money on the Tigers and they were knocking on the door a lot with Cabrera and Verlander and that incredible core. And then he goes to Houston, wins one, and now looks like he's going to win another. I will say this, while I do not like, I think everybody roots against the Astros unless you're like from Houston or you have something against the Phillies for some reason. I will say this about the Astros. Dusty Baker is about as good a dude as you're going to find. And there were some shows that I did probably 8 years ago with Kent Merker, a great Dublin dude, good human. He and I did some shows, and he had Dusty call in, Walt Jocketty call in, and we did like interviews with – they were the nicest guys ever. Now, probably a lot of it had to do with because Merck's a good dude, and they liked him. But I've always rooted for Dusty since then. So I think that part of it is pretty cool, a lifer who's paid his dues and now getting a game away. But
I wish Dusty was still the manager for the Reds.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
Right? He's a player's manager guy, has a good feel for people. Seems like he gets the best and most out of people. So, and by the way, they also went from like, they still have Bregman and Altuve and those guys who are so unlikable, but Dusty takes a little bit of it off. And I don't have anything against Verlander. He seems like a fine dude.
Also, Kyle Schwarber is if Jose Altuve took the one-up mushroom from Mario. I was noticing that last night watching because Schwarber was the first run of the game where you thought like, oh, Verlander's not getting it tonight. And I'm like, he looks just like Jose Altuve, but
that's
just more massive.
The one-up.
Like when Prince Fielder and CeCe Sabathia were on the same team for a while.
Yep.
Same dude.
Although they showed CeCe Sabathia, I think, was like a mentor to Tristan McKenzie, and they showed him in Cleveland. He looks incredible.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Yeah. That happens a lot with the athletes. Like they continue to work out and then they just eat better.
Oh, you're talking about CeCe?
Sabathia, sorry.
He struggled. I read an article about this in the summer. He struggled with alcoholism while he was playing, and he's like clean now, so that probably helps a lot.
You're
going
to say McKenzie, I think, could eat 5,000 calories a day and not gain a pound.
Not a pound. No such worries for the diet for the Buckeyes. This is going to be Cupcake City on Saturday. Buckeyes at Northwestern, an overwhelming advantage for Ohio State in this one. The one thing we're curious about is the weather. We'll get you an update on the dreaded weather in Evanston coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by Celebration Kia.
All right, here's what's up on a Football Friday edition. Buckeyes at Northwestern, where the biggest opponent could be the dreaded weather. Here's Ryan Day from the Ryan Day Show on preparing for the potential weather at Northwestern.
what we like to do is we try not to look at the weather too much too far in advance. And then as we get to about two or three days out, then we start to look at it. Because in the Midwest, for whatever reason, if it shows something on Saturday early in the week, it's usually not that by the time you get to Saturday. But this week, it looks like we are going to get some weather. So we practice in all the elements. And so, you know, we're ready for it. We've had some really windy days in practice, practice in the rain. So, you know, we'll just, you know, do the best we can to understand what we're up against. And sometimes, you know, you don't really have to make many adjustments. You have to handle it better than your opponent. Other times, if it gets extreme, you have to make some adjustments. So we'll talk about it as we get closer to the game.
So how do you define extreme? Because one thing that I think we all thought, I think this is what you're going to get. Northwestern's going to have the grass really high. My guess is they uncover the field. If they cover it at all, it's going to be uncovered. And it will be muddy and sloppy. They have rain in the forecast this evening and then through the early morning. By the time we play, it looks like there will be no rain or very little, occasional, but not much. But what there will be is extreme wind. So you're talking about a steady wind of almost 30 miles an hour and wind gusts of 50 miles an hour. Now, I have no idea if that is something that will be felt. Because Ryan Field isn't right on the lake, so I don't know if they get the same like Soldier Field gets.
And how much does it funnel into the stadium, depending on direction? Yeah, I don't know.
No clue. The only time I was there, it wasn't anything to be too concerned about. I don't remember it being an issue at all, but it wasn't a day like this. Wind gusts of 50 is a real deal. That'll take a ball. So. You know, that's something where you're going to have to drive the ball if you're going to try to throw it a lot. You'll have to be able to do that. I think anything where the weather would be bad, which is what it looks like we're headed for with the steady wind, obviously it's going to help the lesser team, especially the team that doesn't throw it as much. So that's part of something that I think you could see in this one a little bit. But I don't think it's anything to be that concerned about. Quite frankly, we're having a little fun with this. To be honest, like the best team wins.
Yeah,
we're going to overwhelm them.
There has to be something to focus on because the actual matchups player to player aren't exactly up to the quality that would challenge Ohio State consistently throughout a four quarter game.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be the necessarily the players that are wearing purple, but it'll be the players in scarlet and gray challenging themselves. It'll be the elements. It'll be the grass. It'll be frustration. It'll be lack of patience. Yes. It'll be if the ground game's not going right away and if Ohio State can't air it out when it wants to, then where does that frustration turn? Does it turn to, we got to get away from the run so we can throw and actually put some points up on these guys because we're getting a little restless? Or is it you just keep swinging the sledgehammer, which is something I'm also advocating for tomorrow?
Yeah, I think this is one of those ones where you ought to be able to bully them a little bit. Ryan Day on his show yesterday talked a little bit about that Northwestern defense. Here's what he had to say.
So I work with Jim in San Francisco for the 49ers. He was the defense coordinator there when we were there in 16. Really good coach, really aggressive, really smart coach. And, you know, he and Fitz both, I'm sure, are both involved with the defense. But they do a very, very good job. And over the years, just Northwestern in general has done a really good job on defense. As you know, they play that thing inside out. They're powerful and they know how to stop the run on the side of the ball.
Well, they gave up 33 to Iowa last week. So I think we can settle down on what the defense is.
They do a really good job.
Yeah.
I hope he brought his gold sticker.
Hey, they play defense, man. I'll tell you what. They play defense at Northwestern.
Look, it's a Big Ten team.
Yeah.
Pat Fitzgerald, pretty candid. We played some of this yesterday, but pretty candid on what the Buckeyes are. Here's Coach Fitz.
They're a great team, man. I'm just joking, by the way. The field's in unbelievable shape. It's incredible. The best I think it's ever been. But, yeah, I mean, they're a complete team. I mean, you've got to execute, number one, what you're expected to do. You've got to be able to win on plays one at a time. You got to get off the field on third down and create turnovers. And then you got to play complementary football. And in the first half, we didn't do that at Iowa. We put our defense out there too long. And then we didn't get off the field on third down. And that's really not what we're built to do. Here it's play complementary football, win the turnover battle, and play tough physical four-quarter football. And, you know, obviously we've been inconsistent at that all year.
Is complementary football becoming like the pseudonym for coaches who just aren't playing well?
Yeah. It's just nonsense. It's just It's just play good football. I mean, it doesn't even make sense.
Just be good on both
Just be good on both sides of the ball. That's a complimentary football. I think the definition of it has been skewed so much, and it's something that coaches say so often, that the original definition of it, what doesn't even make sense, which was the field position part, right? Like, don't bury your offense. Don't put your defense in bad spots. It was really trestle ball at its best, right? Is, you know, punt them back inside the five, take advantage of field position game. And now it's just something that's used all the time. Are we at all surprised that Pat Fitzgerald is still there?
No. He'll be there forever.
The only thing that's going to, if he gets the itch to go somewhere else and try something else out, and I don't think that's going to be in the college game. I mean, he's still young enough that, like, I think, you know, he could move on and maybe do an NFL job. But with everything that's gone on with the success of college coaches to NFL, I'm not sure if anybody's interested in. He might have missed that boat for his interest.
He feels like a slightly less neon Dan Campbell. Like, where Dan Campbell's just, like, loud and eccentric and just grit, grit. That would be Pat. And I think, to Chops's point, if Fitzgerald wanted to move on, he could. But I don't think that desire's there.
He could have moved on to Michigan, maybe to Penn State years ago, probably could have gone to the league. There was talk that the Bears were interested in him at one point. He's got a pretty good gig. So he coaches in his alma mater. He lives in a great part of the country, in a great city. He makes a lot of money. There isn't a whole lot of pressure, and he can have the job forever, and they have all the amenities that you'd want. They're building an $800 million football stadium just for him. Their football facilities now are as good as just anybody in the country. It's just for him.
They love him
whatever he wants.
They love him when he's 1-7, and they really love him when he's 8-4.
It's really a perfect gig. It is. All right, coming up next, Tim May will join us, as he often does, to get us set for this one, and also the next month, more specifically. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
The offseason is a myth. Serving you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to feed your sports addiction. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. With friends like these, who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, let's get some perspective on this one and the month of November at large as we visit with our good buddy Tim May of the Tim May Podcast on Letterman Row and right here at The Fan on the Tailgate Show. Hey, buddy, let me start with this one for you. And I don't know if this one probably isn't going to be muddy. We thought at the beginning of the week that maybe it would. Now it looks like the rain is going to move out, so it'll depend on how much Northwestern keeps that field clear or if they tarp it. All of that to get to this. When is the last muddy game that you remember Ohio State playing, like a true mutter?
Oh, man. I tell you, I wish you hadn't asked me. I have.
It's been a minute, though, right?
Bo, I'm stumbling. Let's come back to that question. Yeah, it's been a minute. I mean, you know, but I want to say this about muddy games. Everybody always talks about it being an equalizer. I go, well, wait a minute. If it's muddy for Ohio State, it's going to be muddy for Northwestern. You know what I mean? Just like this idea that they're going to grow the grass 3 inches higher, and well, it's going to slow them down even more if that's what you think is the difference. So that, all those things never made any sense to me, except from a psychological standpoint. Hey, look, I know one thing: that Tennessee game in the Citrus Bowl, the Cleat Gate, as we ended up calling it, about 3 weeks later, that was pretty wet. And Ohio State, of course, came up short. And definitely Ohio State versus Air Force in the 1990 Liberty Bowl in Memphis. It was frozen. Ohio State had to basically practice in what a little bit better confines, maybe a little bit better than a garage, but that was about it for like the 3 days leading up to that game. Air Force came in. Excuse me, flew
in. Is that
Dallas? Yeah, no, I don't remember the names, but the point is, Air Force pulls the big upset, and the biggest play in the game was a pass by Air Force. But it rained that day, Bo, of the game. It rained all the way up to kickoff, and then quit. And it was a sloppy, muddy mess. That was Robert Smith was a freshman on that team, et cetera. And, you know, of course, we all remember 2015 in Ohio Stadium.
Sure.
It was one of the nicest days ever in the fall, late fall, and then all of a sudden, or mid fall, and then all of a sudden, right before game time, that big storm blew in, and Ohio State's repeat national championship dreams went down the drain.
Yeah, well said. I think the equalizer, if you are a team who throws it a lot, and we've been that, and you're talking about 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts, which is what we could see tomorrow, maybe that's how you can talk yourself into it. I'm with you. Give me the more talented team by a lot. This is a 38-point spread in this one. Northwestern's bad, Tim. They're the worst team in the Big Ten this year. They've really, really struggled both sides. So There's a couple of these, right? Indiana has this feel. Maryland's maybe a little more talented than the previous two, but we've got three kind of weeks here where we can sleepwalk and still win, and yet you've got the eye on the prize, Michigan, at the end of the year. How do you think Ryan Day will handle these next 3 weeks, knowing that he's got to stay sharp for Michigan in 3 weeks?
Just like he did, I even, you know, kind of asked him about that this week. I mean, you gotta, you know, that competitive stamina that he's talking about. That's his calling card this year, and he wants it to be a calling card for the team. And you got to approach it like you go into the Northwestern game and treat it like it's 0-0, and Northwestern is Michigan, and you line up and play them that way, you know, until probably the score tells you otherwise. And that's what they'll do against Indiana. You know, Indiana is kind of a little bit spunky in the sense that they sometimes can mess you up. I mean, they can have some schemes that kind of mess you up. Ohio State's witnessed that many times. Usually it's over there, though. You know, I'd be more worried about that season opener next year over there than I would be this one. But Maryland, I'm telling you, Maryland is putting on offense. And, you know, and they've had to go into their, you know, their quarterback well, where Ohio State really hasn't had to do that. But, and the game is going to be at Maryland before maybe the second game of the century, you know, the first game of the century in 2006. But, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, man, it's looking like a hell of a collision, except when you also look and Michigan's got to play Illinois, two like-minded teams that are going to be going head-to-head. So it's not exactly a rose path to that game. But, you know, when you said week from week to week, I thought you meant W-E-A-K, you know. But
I think I do.
I do.
I think they're going to be probably – I mean, Maryland is probably going to be, what, three scores – at least on a favorite. I think Michigan was favored by Maryland by like 22.5. I think it'll be at least that for us. So this
you saw that game though.
I certainly know the Maryland talent specifically on the edge. I think the key for Ohio, and this is going to drive Ohio State fans nuts, but this is the reality of it. You've been around this long enough. From the national perspective, the Buckeyes are going to fall off a cliff for 3 weeks. No one's going to pay attention to these games other than us that are watching it. Right. No one's going to pay attention to CJ Stroud. So this is, I call these bottom line games. If you're around the country and you're watching Tennessee at Georgia on Saturday and the Ohio State score comes across the bottom line, it needs to be, not needs, but you hope it's one that you go, oh, Buckeyes took care of business. 56-7 over Northwestern. Stroud, 26, a 32 for four, you know, 375 yards, four scores. These need to be bottom line games for the Buckeyes the next 3 weeks.
For major awards and things like
yes.
that? Absolutely. I mean, you and I both know this weekend is a major moment in the Heisman Trophy race.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of Hendon Hooker has got to deliver again. But Hendon Hooker has two or three marquee games left on his schedule, whereas really C.J. Stroud has two if they beat Michigan and get to the Big Ten championship game before the final votes are in for the Heisman. Those are just examples. And then right on down the line, you know, the major awards. And then, of course, tomorrow, if the wind's gusting up to 50, it's going to be kind of like those – I don't know. I'm kind of a weird guy, but I watch these airport cams every now and then that show planes coming in and landing, you know. And it could be like having a camera at the end of the runway 27 left at O'Hare, you know, right down the road there, and it could be crazy. But this is also a game where Ohio State should be able to line up and run the ball. Last week was a crapshoot running the ball, although they did average more yards per carry than Penn State did. And then the week before, they had 66 yards rushing. This should be a game where you get that well, because Northwestern's not very good against the run, and it's not very good against the pass, but it's definitely not very good against the run. So, you know, all kinds of things you can get well at with this game, but it doesn't look like it's going to be a 50-6 game, you know, but we'll see.
Yeah. Hey, do you play that flight simulator game? Have you ever played that? My kids got it on the Xbox Series X where you can take any plane and fly into any airport around the world. You do like these discovery flights. Have you done this?
When I'm sitting here on my Opal microphone, I have to move my control yoke over so I can set up my Opal situation.
Come on.
Yes, I've played Flight Simulator since the first edition, and I'm quite adept at it. I really like that X2 plane or whatever it is they gave us from the X-72, whatever it is they gave us from the Maverick series, because I'll crank that thing up, get it to like Mach 9 and fly around the world in it.
That's awesome. That was a total shot in the dark.
In a matter of an hour.
I know you well enough. I know you well enough to know that that if you're doing the airport, I had a feeling that this would also be in play, that you'd be on the flight simulator. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I flew the other night from Buenos Aires to Chicago O'Hare and almost missed the runway. So anyway, life's tough.
Well, you did land on the runway.
It's tough to slow that thing down, I guess, is my point.
It is a little bit. Yeah, I'll agree with you on that, my friend. Look, my guess is the Buckeyes land the plane, by the way, tomorrow.
By the way, I think they do, too. They'll get a couple Emeka Egbuka in the slot. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. on those slants last week were so huge. I mean, they've got that, quote, short passing game, and they've got a quarterback with an arm as good as anybody. They'll be able to throw the ball a little bit, but some of the deep balls could be adventures.
Yeah, could be. All right. Good stuff, brother, as always. We'll talk to you again soon.
Always a pleasure, Bo. You know that, man.
All right. Our great friend Tim May of the Tim May Podcast on Letterman Row and the Fan Tailgate Show. I knew that he would play that. It just fits perfectly. The Tennessee Athletic Director had a very interesting social media post yesterday about their intent going forward in the NIL world. Is the Big Ten really ready to play by these rules? We better be, or we're going to get lapped. And that includes right here. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place.
Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Keep your friends close.
And your producers closer.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Second hour here on a Football Friday. Buckeyes to Northwestern on Saturday right here on The Fan. There's three planes that are currently being fought in college football, and they kind of run parallel. So one is the facilities fight, right? This is an old fight. We've had this for a long time. You will recall there was, I want to say 10 years ago or so, Alabama had a waterfall in their facility, and then within 6 months, Urban had water falling in the Ohio State facility. Jimbo Fisher put a slide in, and then,
Oregon always had the best-looking one, too, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, there were kids. I remember, I told the story before, there was a kid for sure that I remember in the South who was a big-time recruit who visited Oregon just for the facilities and then ended up going there. He ended up transferring back to Florida, but ended up going to Oregon just on the facilities and the swag. Most schools are consistently are understanding that you have to consistently improve your facilities. In fact, did you see yesterday the Nebraska facility upgrade that they're doing, the video of this thing? It's unbelievable what they've done there.
And everybody in the state donated $5.
Yes, they all did. And I was going to retweet it with just in like the Ron Burgundy voice. If you build it, they will come. That's kind of what it felt like to me. The thing's unbelievable. We talking about Northwestern. Go look at what they did on the lake and what they tried to do at Northwestern. So there's the facilities fight that is constantly being fought. And it's one that, quite frankly, Ohio State probably needs to. They've come a long way, you know, from Tressel to Meyer and now to Coach Day, but it's something that has to continue to evolve. We probably are going to need a new Woody at some point in order to keep up with all of this. I think everyone kind of acknowledges that.
They've done a lot inside and added a lot of things, but it's still not nearly as impressive from an outside looking piece as some of these other ones. And like,
it's not inside either, Chops. There's not enough windows. It's too dark.
Yeah, like the head coaches, the way their offices look over facilities or wherever it goes out to at other places is so great. And they've tried to upgrade the head coaching office in the Woody, and it's not quite there.
It's not on par. Like, you remember, like, the Oklahoma one when Lincoln Riley was in there, or the one at FSU is unbelievable. Their football facility connects to Dilt Campbell Stadium. So Bowden's office was basically like a luxury suite, in a huge luxury suite in one of the end zones. And you could get a porch that you'd walk out on and look out over the field. We can't do that here.
Louisville has that too, where their facility goes right into the stadium. Yeah.
It's awesome. Those are great. I mean, you see some of those offices. So you have to continue to evolve at that point. The Buckeyes will, but right now it feels like we're a little behind the curve on that, although they've done about as much as they can do with the Woody. So there's that fight. The next fight is, do we have enough money in television rights? Damn right we do. We're never going to have to worry about that. Thanks in large part to Ohio State football and how competitive and consistently good it's been over the last 50 years. In large part because of that, because of these brands like Michigan and Penn State. And even our secondary brands like Nebraska, Iowa, Wisconsin, where whole states care about the games. And so when you have these matchups where it's Michigan or Iowa or Ohio State and Wisconsin, Penn State, Nebraska, whole states are watching these games. And so you're going to be always in the mix there, and we are going to be at the forefront of that. $100 million a team. That's not a battle we have to worry about. Facilities battle, ongoing. Have to continue to do it. television rights battle, you're safe there. This last one, there should be pause. And there should be a little cause for concern. Because if you think about the Big Ten's approach for much of its existence, I think it would be fair to say conservative in nature. We're real big on focus groups, get some people to study it. And the conference that we go head-to-head with most is not. They are far more willing, and have always been. It's part of their nature. They are far more willing to push the envelope. So what in you would never get, what I'm going to play, this is the Tennessee Athletic Director, Danny White. This is something that he put out on his social media platform. He's done a pretty good job. He's hired good coaches. They're good at they're good at men's basketball now. They're good at football now. They're good at baseball. He's got revenue in a lot of places now. And a big part of that is how organized they've been on name, image, and likeness. We talk about the $8 million quarterback from California, so forth and so on. They're dialed in on it. So this is what he posted yesterday. Now, as he's talking, this is the Tennessee Athletic Director, Danny White. Try to imagine for yourself the Michigan AD, the Penn State AD, or Gene Smith talking like this. Let's have a listen.
Good news, Vol Nation. We have new guidelines from the NCAA that allow us to be more aggressive in how we support and promote our name, image, and likeness entities here locally in Knoxville. Over the last year, we've had a ton of success in the NIL space, and I appreciate y'all stepping up in so many ways to support our student athletes. Moving forward, let's continue to be aggressive, even more aggressive, but with 100% compliance within the rules, operating with the highest level of integrity, because that's who we are. Because of you, our student athletes have so many opportunities in the NIL space. I believe we've only scratched the surface of what we're capable of here in the greatest college sports city in America. Okay. We have the biggest and best fan base in college sports. Let's continue to use that to our advantage. I encourage all of you to support our student athletes and collectives. Please support the Lady Vol Booster Club, Spire Sports, and their volunteer club. These collectives have made it their mission to support our student athletes and help Tennessee athletics be the best that we can be. We make a lot of bold proclamations around here. We talk about being the best athletic department in the country. We have the best fan base in the country. We sit here in the best college sports city in the country. Let's be the very best at name, image, and likeness. Let's continue to push the envelope, operate with integrity,
there you go,
and chase championships across the board in all of our sports. Go Big Orange.
So everything he said actually applied here.
He likes throwing out superlatives.
He really does. Best college, but you know, best biggest college city in the country. Like it's here, Austin, Baton Rouge would be second. Knoxville would be behind those.
None of them are one of the best. He just straight up best any of them.
Yeah. I think what is attention getter and what you should be paying attention to as Danny White, the athletic director at Tennessee, was talking, is they are saying push the envelope. Give us all the money so that we can get all of the athletes and keep them here and keep them happy. And guess what? They're doing it. We talked about this a couple of years ago with NIL when it first came into the mix, when it was first starting to happen. There was rumors and rumblings even then that Tennessee was on it with NIL. It was probably the best combination of incredible state pride, a decently wealthy state in terms of the people who live there, the give a damn level of the fan base, and the fact that they were starving for success. So this was their way of jumping the line, and they did it. They did it. Are we going to be willing going forward here at Michigan, at Penn State, at Nebraska, at Wisconsin, Iowa, at those places? Are we going to be willing? When we talk to guys around the country, when we preview Iowa, we preview the Wisconsin game, talk to Nebraska, Penn State even. We talked to them last week. Where are you with NIL? I always ask that question to our guests. Where are you with NIL? They're a little behind. They're not down there. So we can back to the three, you know, parallel lines you're fighting. Facilities. Yep. You're there. Money from television. Yep. NIL. Probably not. Not yet.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to mobilize pretty quickly.
Yeah. I think there's still people who are like against the idea, and it's like, that's way gone. Be
we
done
have no
with
time
that.
For that.
Like that's not going to be an issue at all. It's interesting that Danny White at the beginning of that clip, he goes, thanks to new legislation, something like that. Thanks to new legislation from the NCAA. NCAA. Yeah. And it's like, what did they change exactly? Basically, they laid out enough of their rules that you're like, okay, we can do whatever we want. that there's nothing's going to happen. So now we feel confident that we can just go out there. Now they're telling us we can work directly with the collectives, which is even better. So yeah, go ahead, donate to all of these, and it's up to you. You can donate and bring in that money, because they know they're already getting the money from the big donors. They know that's going to keep coming. So if they can get basically the subscription base of the fan base coming in, that's going to generate even more revenue for them to dish out to their student athletes.
I mean, this is the same school that called for volunteers to donate for goalposts.
Oh, yeah.
Not only did they hit it, they exceeded the damn ask.
Oh, yeah.
So talks about new NCAA legislation, that legislation is, yeah, I'm wiping my hands. Go for it.
Well, the other problem is, guys, as we've talked about a lot, the individual states' laws are going to supersede the NCAA. And the NCAA has no jurisdiction over those laws unless the member institutions want to give it to them. And right now, why would they? So they are these schools, Tennessee, A&M, this was Saban's complaint, right? Is wait a second. Now they have the advantages I used to have, and they have more. So I can't go out work Tennessee. I can't sell a different product because now their money travels better than mine. Same thing with A&M. This was Saban's gripe, absolutely. Remember this. You guys remember last year we were broadcasting live out at the Memorial Tournament. Ryan Day, business leaders, had the luncheon.
And Doug LaMaurice.
Doug LaMaurice was there. and that number got out of, what was it, 13 million, 12 million, 13 million, something like that?
Which is probably low.
That needs to be there. I have heard that in the recruiting world that we're not quite where we need to be in order of taking care of recruits, which is something that Ohio State has said publicly they don't want any part of, right? My fear is that the Big Ten is going to play by the letter of the law rather than the spirit of the law. So they will say, well, NIL is about once you're here, we will make sure you're taken care of. We'll take care of you once you're here with NIL. We saw that with Quinn Ewers, right? But will we incentivize to come here? Because that's what they're doing down there.
I feel like Ryan Day and even Jim Harbaugh and James Franklin truly believe that that is the case, that name, image, and likeness will come once you have earned that, and it's going to take something severe to happen to an Ohio State, Michigan, or Penn State on the field to get that to reverse course.
Like JT Tuimolo on three does the NIL valuations, and his went up like 300% or something after the game he had against Penn State. And it's like, yeah, but he was the number one overall recruit in the country. To continually get that kind of guy, it's probably going to have to be at that level before he's even on campus, before he has one of the best defensive statistical games in the history of the sport, even. And I don't know if the Big Ten's going to get there. And it's also frustrating because we know the money exists just around the programs already, but they can't give them the money. So now we have to crowdfund through the fans who are already paying, you know, whatever cable packages to watch at home, whatever it costs to go to the game, paying for parking, paying for that. And I kind of hate that, but it does seem like it's going to be necessary in the future.
That was always, I had that rant in the summer about that.
Right.
About exactly that. Like, you're coming for my money now. And by mine, I mean the collective fan base. Now we have to crowdsource this because of how you guys have driven this thing head on into an iceberg.
And then also cheer on your awesome new TV deal that's netting $100 million.
And buy tickets. And if you don't buy tickets to crap games, you're bad fans.
Right. All of this, the burden that is on the fan, it continues to be pushed to the fan. This is amazing. I mean, this is an athletic director at Tennessee who they're going to be getting, you know, $90 million a year in television. They've got 108,000 seat stadium that they're going to sell out from now until forever. And he's saying to you, I need more out of you. Give us more of your money than what you're already giving, because we can't share the money that we get with the players because of how stupid this all is.
And I wonder, too, if that works better at, like, and Nebraska's like this, but not every school has this. I mean, because he mentions, like, the Lady Vols collective as well, and I think they're pretty passionate about that. Nebraska's passionate about every sport that has a Cornhusker logo on it. And I'm not sure if people around other programs are outside of the football team.
Yeah, we're getting there. Like, every once in a while, I'll see, like, an image of Gene at, like, Covelli watching the women's volleyball team in front of, like, 4,000 people. So it seems like it's happening here. You know, Coach Ryan with the wrestling program, every once in a while, I'll see an image. I'll be like, whoa, look at that. Like, that's, you know, that feels like that's happening a little bit where you're starting to get a little bit of showing out. So I think it's coming here. But you're right. There are certain places where And the other thing that they have down there is they've got baseball. So that's a huge
Didn't James say
spectator sport
in
there.
Lincoln once he couldn't get a guy at the sports bar to change off the women's volleyball game?
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're locked into it. It's got that in on it. They're for it. So I just thought it was interesting that this is an athletic director for the number one team in the country saying, we're open for business.
We were only able to pay our next quarterback $8 million while he's still in high school. We need more.
We got to get more from you. So all of that going on off the field. On the field, it's a really fun weekend around the nation. We'll get you set for it. Doug coming up in about 15 minutes from now. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Always imitated, never duplicated. Your heritage sports talker and flagship home for Ohio State athletics. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Enjoy Tim Hall, Tyvus Powell, Under the Lights, Advanced High School Football Game of the Week. Coverage of this week's playoff matchup. It's Pick North, Pick Central, 6:30. After the game, stay tuned for High School Football Overtime featuring scores and recaps. And then when you get home, catch highlights from the games around Central Ohio on 1st and 10. That's Friday nights at 11:15 on 10TV. Second week of the playoffs in the high school side of things. We got a month kind of racing to the playoffs here in college football as well. And there is potential for some things to be sorted out this weekend. Obviously, the big one is Tennessee at Georgia. There's been a lot of comparisons between this Tennessee team and the Joe Burrow LSU team and the fact that it kind of came out of nowhere. And that LSU team, I don't know that there was a complete belief in LSU that year until they won in Tuscaloosa. And once that happened, it flipped. And then they rode that wave throughout the rest of the season and weren't challenged too much from that point going forward. Tennessee could have a similar situation if they go win at Georgia. They are 8-point dogs in this game. If they don't cover, like they can lose and still find their way back into the national championship, into the Final Four. There's no question. If they get drilled by Georgia, I'm not sure if they can. If they lose by 10, by two scores, 14, I'm not sure you can get back in. I mean that.
No, they would be. I mean, Georgia would have to lose two more games for them to get back in to the SEC title, which would be their only shot. To beat Bama twice or to just win the SEC would probably be enough in general. But it's going to be that case where you lost to the wrong team.
Right. If Georgia, the scenario where I don't think that's true if Tennessee loses by a field goal or if they lose by a touchdown late or something like that, a really competitive game.
Well, but then they would still need help.
Hold on just a second, real quick. If Georgia were to win out, then I think Georgia and Tennessee could still go.
Right.
They would need
Bama to lose
course,
in that SEC
Of course,
title
they need
game.
Georgia to win out. I'm saying if Tennessee gets drilled, like if they don't, I mean, 8 points is a lot. The number one team in the country is an 8-point dog.
Do the dogs have this wrong.
Like, do the dogs, yeah. Like, if they lose by two scores to Georgia, by 14, I think that's held against them personally. And I think a lot of the good they've done this year is almost forgotten. It's going to be a tough argument getting back in.
And then the ironic thing would be Georgia would get credit for beating a good Tennessee team. They could go to the SEC title game, lose to Alabama, and both those teams would be in. And one of the teams they beat, it would be in over them.
Correct. Yeah. But I think Tennessee would almost be cooked regardless if they lose big. So I think they don't have to beat Georgia to stay alive for the national title, but they do have to. This has to be a game. My hunch is that it will be.
If they beat Georgia, do they become the favorite?
Be interesting. I mean, if they play, be interesting to see what they would be, what the pick would be against Alabama in the SEC title game.
Yeah,
you know, if they would be favored slightly by three or something like that. I would think so. I would think that this would be very similar to that LSU win over Alabama with Burrow, where once that happened, we were like, oh, everything we've seen from them is legitimate. You know, I think that there's a chance that that would be the case. Bama's going to get tested. They got LSU this week, number 10. I like how you put the quotation marks around 10. Please, come on. I think Bama's going to be more than fine in that game. They're two touchdown favorites, right? Isn't it like 14?
It's 14 or 13 and a half.
It's big.
Yes, 13 and a half.
Yeah, so that'll be one to watch. From a viewership guide, our game at noon into Tennessee, Georgia, And then in the late games, you'll have Alabama at LSU. You'll have Clemson at Notre Dame, which is an elimination game, potentially. We're all Irish, not necessarily because Ohio State has anything to fear. But if you don't want to see Clemson in the playoff and have some new blood in there, a loss to Notre Dame in South Bend, I think would do that. I think that would be the end of the road for Clemson in terms of trying to find their way into the playoff just based on who they've played. The weather from my I've got a South Bend bureau chief who now is also moonlighting as an amateur meteorologist telling me it's going to be 30 mile an hour wind Saturday night in South Bend for that game. So that could be tough for DJ to throw it. Could be tough for Notre Dame to throw it. That game could get ugly.
What happens? Drew Pine is their quarterback now.
Drew Pine, yeah.
What happens with Clemson? Because they benched Uiagalelei against Syracuse. Cade Klubnik came in and handed the ball off. And it was the Shipley show at Death Valley. And so does that become the same thing to where it's just DJ handing the ball off? But DJ kind of got benchied because he wasn't even great at that.
Yeah. I think Dabo probably has the credibility with the program to say DJ's back in. It was a bad day.
Dabo loves DJ. He has never come off him at all. No. He has just had confidence in him the whole time. And it's been, you know, I guess if you compare last year to this year, he's playing a little bit better. So sort of up and down, but mostly down for DJ, not living up to the recruiting expectation of when he came into Clemson. But like Reeser was saying, hey, if it's bad weather, they've shown that they're okay with just running the ball. And yeah, that might be enough against Notre Dame.
I mean, I think both these teams would be happy if this game's like 10-7, 13-10. I think they're both plenty satisfied with that. If the weather's that bad, that they'll just play that out. I asked this to Pete Sampson, who was on with us yesterday. Does Marcus need to beat Clemson or USC for this to be viewed a successful season? I think he does. I think one of them he's got to win. If you lose them both, now you got five losses, and what's your win of significance? So in order to prove that, like, you know what you're doing on the field schematically, I think he needs to have one upset win, and he's got a chance here. I don't know that any of us thought that he would have. That Clemson would be ranked fourth when they played him. That USC, if USC can hold form, would be ranked, you know, seventh, eighth, ninth by the time they play him. So he's going to play three monster teams from a rank standpoint. I think he needs one win.
I feel like another thing that's tricky as a Notre Dame head coach is you don't get a chance if you start slow at the end of the year to like still be alive in a division chance and maybe a chance to go to a conference title game. It's you're either going to be playoff caliber, and they're definitely not now because they have three losses. So now you just got to win some of these bigger games, and that's the only thing you can hang your hat on because there's nothing else to really look forward to at this point because Notre Dame fans don't get up for the Insight Bowl or whatever they might end up in.
No. They're going to get the best possible bowl based on their brand for their record, but that's what you're trying to sell. So, look, it's a good week. It's a really good week in college football. If you like watching it, get your outside TVs. It's going to be a great day here on Saturday. Get them rolling a little bit because you have a nice weekend for it. Doug LaMaurice will join us coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Sports, conversation, and Bobby Carpenter doodling cartoons of genitalia. A recipe for success. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, let's get a little smarter with our buddy, good Doug LaMaurice on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Hey, bud, off the top of this last hour, we played a clip of the Tennessee Athletic Director, Danny White, which is a clip he put out on his social channels and basically said, hey, we're open for business. We need all the money that you got. We're going to be the best at NIL and just watch what we've done already, and there's more of it. I'll pose this question to you. Is the Big Ten prepared to fight that fight with NIL with schools like Tennessee and Texas A&M and some of the ones in the South?
I think Ohio State is. I mean, that's the thing, right? Sometimes there's a Big Ten question and there's an Ohio State question because Ohio State is of the Big Ten and part of the Big Ten, but also kind of different than other schools in the Big Ten. So, you know, I don't know that what he's saying there is all that different than what Ryan Day said a couple months ago, where he said, you know, it's going to take $13 million to keep our roster together. That's just the reality. And I think a lot of people in the Big Ten were like, what? But also James Franklin at Penn State was like, hey, that's real. We got to do that too. So, you know, is the Big Ten ever going to go as far as the SEC? Well, they didn't They haven't ever, right? But can they get close enough to compete? I think Ohio State will. I think Penn State wants to. I think USC will. I think Michigan will try to get pretty close. So I don't know that it changes, Bo, that much than the world we've been living in, where there is kind of an SEC way of doing business, and the top of the Big Ten is willing to do enough to compete, I think.
Yeah, we our concerns are on the Buckeye side of things, and then you hope you have a couple of dance partners who view things in a similar way so you keep the football program where it is. Actually referenced, you know, that thing back in May where you were there and chronicled that he said that. That made a lot of news at that time that was being said, but that was also kind of done in a way behind closed doors, and they are now all out in it and pushing it. I mean, I could never imagine Gene Smith, you know, saying something like this and putting something out on his social channels. And I think we're at the point where we can't afford not to. Like, look, the Big Ten's always going to be right there in television revenue. It's always going to be right there in facilities. You just have to make sure you're right there on NIL. And the thing that is so bothersome to me is it's one more burden on the fan, right? Like, you don't do enough. Now we need more of your money because we can't, this $100 million we're getting for TV, we can't give them any of that.
Yeah, no, and that's the choice. I mean, I do think in the end, I think the fans have to make a choice, right? I hope it's not that we need everyone to give double, you know, give to the university and also give to the collective so we can compete in NIL. It's just maybe give a little less to the university and give more to the collectives. And, you know, I don't know, the two collectives for Ohio State are pretty out there, pretty forward thinking, I think. You know, the people with Ohio State are involved with doing, you know, like fundraisers or whatever with the collectives. I do think from the coaching side of things, I think they're pretty interested in pushing this down the road. And I do think that, you know, the administrative level, Gene Smith and those kind of people, I think they do try to balance things. And I agree with you. Is Gene going to be on Twitter asking for money tomorrow? Probably not.
Yeah.
But I think they get with maybe a little more reluctantly, but I also think they know the score and they know the deal. And they want to win national championships. And so, you know, I do think, but Tennessee also has to do this because they've got to capitalize on being hot right now. You know, if they get their doors blown off by Georgia on Saturday, which I don't think they will, but this might be peak Tennessee, depending. They got to strike while the iron is hot. But also, they don't have the recent success that Bama and Ohio State and Clemson can fall back on.
There's no question about it. The iron is white hot for them right now. This is I was a big proponent of this and really pushed this last Friday when we were going to Penn State from the standpoint of, to Buckeye fans, enjoy this. This is a real opponent. I really liked the game. I thought it was fun. I enjoyed watching it. I enjoyed seeing a game that was a three-quarter game that took all the way into the fourth before you were able to pull away. You're not going to get that the next 3 weeks, Doug. How do you, it's back to our age old question. How do you view this? How does Ryan Day keep a team sharp, which was sharp in the fourth quarter, specifically against Penn State? How does he keep it sharp for 3 weeks before they play Michigan?
You know, this has come up a lot. I do think there's some reasonable Clemson comparisons here that in this playoff era, certainly a lot of us have looked and said, hey, Clemson's good. The ACC stinks. They have a cakewalk to the playoff more years than most. But then when Clemson gets to the playoff, Clemson's ready. I don't know that we've ever really, maybe the Kelly Bryant year when they were the one seed and lost to four seed Bama. But most of the time, Clemson has an easy time, isn't tested, and then is ready to roll against the best. So I think for fans, it's like interesting for the team to get a test during the regular season. I really don't know that staying sharp against lesser competition is a huge problem. Because I do think it's a little coach speak, but I do think there's also a lot of truth to it, that they do push each other in practice. You know, they go hard, one versus one. And I think it is fun to see a good game. Now, you know, a lot of the fans that I've interacted with were kind of stressed out about that and worried. And I more agree with you. They found a way to win, and I think it's more good than bad the way that game went. But I don't think I have a huge concern about Ohio State staying sharp. Because I do think the teams at the top, you keep yourself sharp, and then you tread water on Saturday and try to stay healthy and be ready for Michigan and what's next.
Yeah, the hard thing, I think, for all of us, not so much us, but I mean in terms of fans sometimes, is this program is going to disappear for 3 weeks, Doug. It's going to be playing in a closet. Like, we're going to watch it. We'll pay attention to it. It's our job to do it. But the College Football Nation will not. That's something that you, I call these bottom line games. When you're, if you're somebody around the country and you're watching Tennessee at Georgia, you need to look down and see number two Ohio State 49-0 over Northwestern. C.J. Stroud 28-32, 384 touchdowns. That's what you need to see because no one's watching these games outside of us.
No, I agree with that. It's one of those things. I mean, there's always a fine line. This is a constant Ohio State conversation. You want your conference to be good so that people respect you and your resume is valued, but do you really wish you were playing three top 25 teams the next 3 weeks? Like, is that, if that's the alternative, that, hey, Ohio State, Michigan is going to be a humdinger. I think we'll get to 11-0 versus 11-0. I think that'll be two top four teams by the time that game is played, and it'll be one of the two or three best regular season games of the year. Michigan's playing Illinois the week before that. Mm-hmm. That is a heck of a spot for Michigan. If you're Ohio State, do you wish you were playing Illinois, which has a highly ranked defense and a Heisman candidate at running back, the week before Michigan? Or do you take the three pretty easy ones and get yourself ready for what matters? It's that you can wish yourself into tougher games and find yourself in a situation where you're in 2015 and you're playing a scrappy Michigan State team the week before Michigan, and now all of a sudden that game's too hard.
This is a rare opportunity where we have someone who spent boots on the ground in Evanston for several years, Doug, with your education over there. We're hearing 50-mile-an-hour wind. It gusts up to 50 miles an hour, sustained 30. What does that mean for Ryan Field?
So it is like a, you know, it's like a small bowl, right? That it's not a real high stadium, and it is grass. So, like, it's going to be a show, man. Like, it's going to be weird, probably. and I saw you tweeting. I know you've been talking about it. You know, like, when if there's a lot of rain. Now it's temperate. It's not going to be cold. So no. It's going to be like nice. Like a nice warm rain and, you know, hurricane with the wind. So, you know, the wind really does matter. I remember that the Michigan State game in 2016, the ball was blowing sideways and JT Barrett was throwing curveballs.
Did we lose Doug there? I think we lost him there at the end. Yeah, lost him at the end. Dang it. So it sounds like it's not going to be that the weather will impact it. That the wind is going to be there and that you're going to get that. I mean, that's boots on the ground experience from Lay Maurice, fine Northwestern alum.
Well,
there you go.
Just run the ball.
Yeah. That's.
You know what? No, because Ohio State's a 38-point favorite. I'm going to dust off this gimmick. Da bomb. And see if it goes other way.
Throw it downwind.
CJ turn around, throw into the wind and see, because Route Man Marv will catch anything, right?
Catch it, yeah.
So just see what happens. Like, let's lean full into Yakety Sacks football, because why the hell not? Like, that, if you're talking about the country not getting eyes on your product, that'll get eyes on your product, because it'll make SportsCenter top 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
Don't be trying to throw accurate balls. Try to throw it into the jet stream and have your wide receiver figure out where that lets out.
Because who's going to want to watch, like, Hendon Hooker goof around at 3:30 when you've got Stroud throwing whirly bird passes?
Yeah, there's
that's what the people want.
It's like a Nerf ball out there.
Yeah, that's a win for everybody.
I get whistle.
The great Doug Lay Maurice, Cleveland.com, joined us on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We hit Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Your home for the Buckeyes, Blue Jackets, and crew. And our sincere apologies for common man singing Creed songs. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little Thing or Not a Thing on a Football Friday. Hit it, boys.
Thing or Not a Thing.
Sponsored by Geico Insurance.
Here we go on a Friday. From The Athletic's Jesse Temple, Wisconsin interim coach Jim Leonard says he hasn't had an opportunity to talk to the athletic director yet and share his vision. Quote, looking forward to when the time is right to sit down with Chris McIntosh and kind of show him what I think this place can be and should be. Thing or not a thing?
He's a liar. Give me a break. He hasn't talked to the AD. He's the interim head coach. Most people felt like if they didn't make this move now, they might lose him to another job. He turned down the job to be the defensive coordinator of the Packers to stay at his alma mater. He's the next head coach at Wisconsin. And that conversation's already taken place. The idea that he would have not talked to the AD by now is just nonsense. I don't understand the point of...
Did they fire Chris and send him a text?
Yeah, I mean, so like, head coach I don't understand the point of lying about it, because it's impossible for me to believe that they have not had conversations. It's, well, it's ridiculous.
One of those things where he's not technically lying because they've never had a formal conversation about the job. Like, he's never formally interviewed for the head coaching vacancy that's there at Wisconsin. So, therefore, he never had the conversation. He's not, in fact, lying. But people do this all the time when you talk about, like, in the NFL or even in college. Like, they've had conversations. They've just never had any formal processes so that they can hide behind this. Now, it's likely they won't till after the season a formal thing is done, or some, you know, window dressing to make it look like this was a process, because you've got to abide by certain rules. But, yeah, this is like a text was probably sent, or someone's agent spoke out to Leonard's agent, and they're like, yeah, we're good. Good job, buddy.
100% has had face-to-face conversations with the AD about the future of the program. He's an alumni.
He's the interim head football coach. Like,
right.
Like, the AD's just like, oh, I'll get to him.
I'll get to
it's the most
the
important thing any athletic director has to take care of
it's
at any
the
school.
The only job he has is figuring out the future of that program.
Bob Huggins was asked by reporters yesterday his thoughts on the possibility of Gonzaga joining the Big 12. From Huggy Bear, quote, to get in this league and play who we play day after day, I would think it would be a tremendous awakening. You don't get to make your own schedule in the Big 12, end quote. Thing or not a thing?
So here's what I would say. He's right. I mean, it would be an amp up in competition to play, as opposed to the WCC schedule that Gonzaga's been playing all these years in conference. Now, there's some good teams there. St. Mary's is usually good. Pepperdine's pretty good. Those teams usually make noise in the tournament, too. So it's not like they're just, you know, paper tigers out there. It's a good league. But Huggins is right. Like, to go from that to have to go play at Morgantown, play in Lawrence, play at Waco, that's a different level of basketball that they would be playing. Now, I will give Gonzaga credit for this. Their non-conference, they will play anybody, anywhere, anytime, anyplace. And they've done that for 20 years. So they'll go on the road, and they have. They're doing the best they can. But I think he's right. I think it's a true thing.
Yeah, Gonzaga schedules like women's basketball programs. It's one of the great things about college women's basketball. All the top teams are like, sure, we'll play in the regular season.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's in the middle. It's like in the middle of conference stuff. So that's good for Gonzaga. I think also Huggins is missing the second part of that. Is like, you're right, it is more competitive. So yeah, they're not going to end up with these 36-1 type records every year. But they also get more respect from losing games in the Big 12. So all in all, it might put them at the same spot if they can find a way to win the league, and they might still be a one seed. So there's a trade-off there where you get more respect. For your record in your loss column doesn't hurt you as much as when you're playing in the WCC. Up next, Dwight Howard says he wants to face off with Shaquille O'Neal at WrestleMania 39 to determine the king of L.A. WWE is hosting its biggest show of 2023 in April at SoFi Stadium, where the Chargers and Rams play. Howard believes it's the perfect opportunity for the former Los Angeles Lakers centers. Okay. Battle inside the squared circle. Quote, let's go, Shaq. Let's go. Superman versus Superman, Howard said on Wednesday's edition of the Club Shay Shay podcast. Thing or not a thing?
I can't believe you could read this entire thing without just dying laughing. It's just such a bunch of nonsense. Dwight Howard is one of those guys who does not see himself the way the rest of the world sees himself. And what's crazy about that, there was a stretch where he was dominant and a Hall of Fame type player for a stretch of time through his time in Orlando. And then the game just kind of changed and he became obsolete in a hurry. That said, I think the best way to describe this would be to use the line from the great Tywin Lannister. A lion does not concern himself with the opinion of sheep. Shaquille O'Neal is on a different plane. By the way, Shaquille hates him. So if he actually did this, he would probably actually try to hurt him.
I would actually kind of move toward this being a thing. Johnny Knoxville wrestled at WrestleMania last year. And if you offered Shaq enough money,
he's got so much.
Probably, I know.
But he does like any opportunity.
Loves attention.
But what does he have to do when he does that stuff? He always wants a piece of it. So if he's going to wrestle in WrestleMania, he's going to need the McMahon family to give him a piece of WWE.
They might. Well, I don't know if they need Shaq necessarily to sell that thing, but it wouldn't hurt.
And is wrestling still a thing? Is it a big deal right now? How is it? Is it healthy?
It's been a long time since I've actually watched the program.
Yeah, I don't know.
I used to be a big wrestling fan, but it doesn't.
I think WrestleMania is in SoFi Stadium, so it's still getting huge venues to be in. I just, Dwight Howard, you know, there's not a lot of people in the world that are bigger than Dwight Howard, and Shaq is one of them.
Only if Magic Johnson could do a run-in and hit Dwight Howard with a chair would you interest me
Magic
in that.
Magic Johnson's curated his image. He's not doing anything like that.
Or if Irvin was, like, the special guest referee.
Now, Kareem
could do the run-in.
Yeah.
Do we want to do Chris Ottman-Bell or Golden State Warriors here?
I want to do Ottman-Bell.
Ryan Burns, Gophers reporter for 24/7 Sports, is reporting that Chris Ottman-Bell is returning for what will be his seventh season at Minnesota after being granted a medical redshirt. Ottman-Bell tore his ACL in the Gophers' Week 3 win over Colorado. Thing or not a thing?
It's an absurd thing. Seven seasons of college football? So he'll be 25. Now, Hooker's
24.
You
better have a master's degree by the end.
Yeah, yeah. It's absolutely... it's an enormous thing. I can't imagine like going to college for 7 years.
That's doctors. A lot of people go to college for 7 years. Yeah, they're called doctors. it reminds me at the end of the show Parks and Rec, there's a time where they like all move on to the National Park Service, but Ron Swanson stays behind. He says he like looks up one day and the place was different. And that's what it's going to be like for Chris Ottman-Bell. He's at least had Mo Ibrahim and Tanner Morgan there this whole time. Those guys are going to be gone. You're going to look up and you're going to be the grandpa sitting there with all these new kids and you have no idea who any of them are. So, I mean, good for him. I guess he wants to keep playing. I would think after 6 years and multiple medical red shirts and things like that you'd just kind of be done. But
can
I don't know.
Can you imagine 7 years of row the boat, ski you ma, go Gophers?
Yeah,
like
he really
PJ's
likes
act for 7 years.
Maybe he'll be a graduate assistant right afterwards.
I would think it would wear thin like on year three, let alone seven of it.
Last one real quick. For the first time ever, all 15 NBA games on Monday will be available to watch for free on the new NBA app. All 30 teams are playing November 7th ahead of Tuesday off to encourage voting on Election Day. Thing or not a thing?
Wow.
So every team in the league's playing. You can watch them all on the app. They're all off Tuesday.
I think the more all off Tuesdays, more of a thing. I've never heard of a sports league taking a collective day off for civic duty.
It's pretty good for them, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, imagine thinking about going to vote and they're like, no, I got to watch the Magic. shoot. Warriors are on. Can't go vote
today.
Game
1 of 82.
Not this year.
Vote today.
I can't go to the polling place. Tip off is in 3 hours.
Sorry, JD Vance. The Cavs are on.
That's right. No votes for you. All right, final hour here on a Football Friday. We'll know the scores. Chops has been on a heater the last couple of weeks. The lead that I once had that was large is shrinking. We will get to that really interesting weekend in college football. A little bit of Shelly time from Finland coming up at the bottom of the hour. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
One is upside down on an inversion table. The other one's wearing a tank top without pants.
Ready for your workout?
Radio doesn't get any better than this.
You nasty.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Producers, co-hosts, friends, some of those things are true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Final hour here on a Football Friday. Buckeyes and Northwestern at noon right here on The Fan tomorrow. Are you guys post tomorrow?
Post.
What's your hit time? Give the people.
5:30-ish to 7.
Ooh, so you'll get like that'll be fun. You'll get the you'll be able to react to the 3:30. Keep an eye on Georgia and Tennessee and kind of put the day in perspective.
Yeah, it is a really fun show because you hit the Buckeyes at certain points during the show. You react to what's going on live and what else happened at noon.
And we drink on the air.
We don't do that. Certainly encouraged, isn't it? I feel like it.
I mean, if everybody who's listening has had a few, would they really even notice if you've had a few?
Actually, would they be able to notice if we did a show sober or drunk? Kind of would sound the same, I feel like.
To be fair, they're his historical reference points, and yes, you can. You can tell.
I'm talking about just Chops and I, not other radio honks.
Yeah, even the two of you, I do believe that you would be able to do that. We've talked about this. It's a tough one. There's no threat at all. You cannot come up with a roadmap for Northwestern to make this one interesting into the fourth. There's no sales pitch for it. You'd be Draper selling the thing to Kodak. That ain't going to work here. There's nothing here that's going to work. This is a beatdown. This is an overwhelming advantage for Ohio State. And so you just want to play it and you want to stay healthy. And it's as simple as that. The same will be true as we see next week. It'll go by in a blink, by the way. We'll be sitting here doing the same thing for the home game against Indiana. 2 weeks from now, Maryland. Okay. Hey, you know, they can't match up, but they got a couple of guys on the outside. They could get a little frisky.
We actually Maybe know who plays some, quarterback for them.
Right. They've got a pro at receiver. Like, you know, there's a couple of things that you could talk yourselves into. And, of course, Michigan sells itself. And as we talked off the top of the show with the email from the listener, I think everyone's kind of getting a little bit nervous about that Michigan game and the way that Michigan is playing.
And that's a good thing.
Yes, it is. And much like last week was a good thing, like last Saturday was a lot of fun. Was it stressful? Yes, but it should be. It's every week shouldn't be 42-0, bing, bong, bong, and over at halftime. Like, you should have to struggle from time to time, especially against really good opponents. And Penn State is a really good opponent, and you still almost covered. So that, to me, I take that over what we're going to get tomorrow all day long. This one, like, three things is going to come from me, second quarter. I would be shocked if it's not a second quarter, three things. Quite frankly, I could probably do it at 7-0, but I'll wait until at least they're up three or four scores, and I think that'll probably come sometime in the second quarter. I think the weather does make it interesting. I haven't seen us play in 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts. I don't know what that looks like. That type of chaos adds for some intrigue, but I agree with Tim May. If it makes it tougher for us, it certainly is going to make it a lot tougher for them because they don't have the physical advantages that the Buckeyes have. So that's the game you're going into. The good news is the college football slate as a whole is really good, and you'll be able to check all of this stuff out if you want to throughout the day. And that leads us to Know the Scores.
It's time for Know the Scores on Bishop and Friends.
Sponsored by Roosters, a fun casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Gentlemen, we are closer than we've ever been.
Since week one?
Record-wise, since the first week of the season. And even then, Chops has had to dig himself out of a hole. And dig he has done. 8-3 last week to bring his overall record to 47-51. Incredible.
I think that's two of the last 3 weeks I've gone 8-3. So that's probably unsustainable, but very good.
Hey, not with that
attitude. Ladies and gentlemen, now that he's out of the car and his helmet's off, let him hear it.
The wildest thing was, I missed Ohio State. They almost covered, but they didn't cover. And then as I was sitting here doing the show on Saturday with Devere Posey, I was looking at it and I was like, wait, I got that one, that one, that one, that one, that one. I got all seven of the other ones. And then I went 1-2 in the night games. But I got seven in a row on my sheet. And I was like, wow, that's pretty good.
So I've never seen, I will say this, because usually what happens with this type of thing is you dig a hole and then you overthink it the rest of the way and the hole just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You dug a hole and somehow you're out of it. It's remarkable that you're this close to 500. Good job out of you. Less exciting for me, Reese. Go
but
ahead,
at 49-49 overall, Bo,
yeah,
still two games above Chops, but 4-7 last week. Everybody's looking to dig out.
Yeah, it's been a rough stretch for me. Really has been.
Let's start tomorrow at noon. Camp Randall, Wisconsin is a 5-point home favorite against Maryland. That game's on the Big Ten Network if you're so inclined or a sicko, Bo.
Here's my theory on why Chops has had so much success. I am giving him all of these Big Ten crud games that I will never watch. And he watches this stuff and I don't.
Like a true degenerate.
He is, and he's a sicko, so like he will be paying attention.
Everybody
somehow
wanted to pick Nebraska to cover last week. No.
Chopper, you get into the Big Ten West, Chopper's got it handled. Like if ever there is a need, like if anybody at some point in history, if somebody says, God, you know what we need? We need a Feinbaum show that's just done in the Big Ten West. I've got your host.
Boom.
He's ready. He's ready for it. He's absolutely ready. All right. I have who in the blue hell knows? Are you kidding me? Maryland at Wisconsin. So what's Wisconsin been? Up and down, fire, crisp. You think there's going to be a bump. There isn't. They're playing at home. They got to win by five. That's all we need here out of Wisconsin. Will Maryland be frisky? One thing that seems to be the case with Mike Locksley teams is they're either really impressive or they get slumped. Like, just there's no middle ground. So Jim Leonard at home, I'll take Wisconsin winning by six, but I don't love it.
This one, so you got Talia coming off of injury. I believe they had a bye. They got by Northwestern because Northwestern's terrible without him. So Talia should be back. So I'm actually going for the upset on this one on the road. The Terrapins come in, and Wisconsin, they've bounced back a little bit on their year, but they're still not a very good team. I've got Maryland winning 30-26.
Next up, still a nooner, likely Purdue's last grasp at any chance of winning the Big Ten West crown. They are 3.5-point home favorites against the Iowa Hawkeyes. Chops, do you like your team here?
So this is one where I'm going to bet so that I can enjoy the game, hopefully. So I'm picking Purdue to win 27-24. Pay attention to the scores. Purdue has had Iowa's number in recent years. I wonder if the defense will get up to actually stop Purdue's best receiver, who is an Iowa transfer in Charlie Jones, who's having a great year. Usually the best receiver on Purdue's team just ignites Iowa, but I'm hoping that they don't quite do that. So just a 3-point win for Purdue. That way I can be like, well, I was right. Purdue did win, but Iowa covers and I get this right.
Purdue's been just a brutal team to figure out this whole year. It feels like when they have momentum, then they lose it right away. They got drilled at Wisconsin the last time out. I'm going to roll with you. The Hawkeyes rolling all of a sudden. They somehow they've salvaged it. Brian Ferentz got it figured out. The guy's an offensive genius. They scored 33 points at Northwestern. I like the Hawkeyes to keep this one frisky, maybe even win it. Give me Iowa.
Our final nooner is number 7, TCU, is an 8.5-point home favorite hosting Texas Tech, Bo.
Boy, the Big 12. You're going to get a lot of points. You're going to have incredible point swings. TCU, undefeated, lots to prove. 8-0 on the season. Texas Tech beat Texas, but they did so without Ewers. So the last couple of times out, I like Texas Tech by 10. Give me the Horned Frogs winning by 10.
Oh, the Horned Frogs. Okay, you said Texas Tech by 10.
I'm sorry, like, no. TCU. Horned Frogs by 10.
Texas something. Yeah.
So
TCU by 10.
My buddy sent me this, and it was interesting. You've got 56% of the bets on Texas Tech, which is pretty close to the 50-50 margin. But something like 87% of the money is on Texas Tech, and we were talking about that. That seems odd. Why would everybody be rushing with who's betting big real money to be on Texas Tech? They know something. TCU wins.
Oh, God.
But 42-35.
So Chops are sharp now. Look at this.
He really is a sharp. All right. Always go opposite of the big trends, Chopper.
Well,
always.
No, that you go out. That money is where.
Oh,
is
I see.
It's the money.
It's the big money.
Not the bets.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Good job. I follow your logic.
To games that matter at 3:30, top-ranked Tennessee is at number 3, Georgia. The Dawgs are 8-point favorites in this one, Chops.
This Alabama, I have this singing suspicion that I'm going to get the Alabama and Georgia games wrong. Like, and I've been like flipping. Do I flip both of them? Do I flip one? But then I flip the wrong one and I go 0-2 in them. So I'm just sticking with what I have written down here. I'm not going to go and flip on them in the middle of the segment. I've got Georgia winning, but that number's just a little too big for me. Dogs 42-35.
Yeah, same. And if it's anything other than this, like I talked about earlier in the show, then I think Tennessee, I don't care what happens the rest of the way, they're out of it. Like, if you lose by 2 scores, you lose by 10 or 14 at Georgia, then I don't want to hear about you being in the national championship.
This is your playoff game.
This is it. Like, they don't have to win it, but they can't get routed, and I don't think they will. I think they'll be able to throw it. I could see them winning this game, but I think Georgia will end up winning the game. I think it's close. I like Tennessee to cover as well.
To Bloomington next, Indiana is a 14-point home dog to number 15 Penn State, Chops. Can the Nittany Lions cover on the road?
I liked what I saw out of Penn State last week. I think Sean Clifford is a very experienced quarterback. So when he's playing bad teams, that can really, really help you. And I think he can have a good game. He's throwing the ball all over the yard. Also, 2 Ohio State players last week. I don't think he's going to have quite the same problem. I don't think JT Tuimoloau is suiting up for the Hoosiers, so I don't care that this number's big. I'm going Penn State 35-17.
Yeah, I like that as well. I think Penn State kind of found a little bit of something and have a little confidence. I think Franklin rallies his program a little bit, and I think Indiana's brutal. So I like Penn State winning this one 42. Yeah, no, it's probably too much. Let's go 38-14.
I'm going to have to clear my eyes out here because I'm looking at this next one.
Yeah.
Burt is a 17-point favorite. At home, Illinois is the 16th-ranked Illini host Michigan State at 3:30. And in the year of our Lord, 2022, Brett Bielema is more than a 2-touchdown favorite, Bo.
All right, so here's what they've done. All right, they beat Virginia by 21. They beat Wisconsin by 24. That's the Paul Christus fired game. They beat Iowa by 3. They beat Minnesota by 12. And they beat Nebraska by 17, which would be right on the number. Michigan State's coming off of a lot. They got a lot of guys suspended for this game. what is Michigan State's give a damn level in this thing? I'm not sure that it's there, but I'm not giving Burt 17. Give me Sparty to cover the 17.
Yeah, that number is just a little too big for me. And yes, there are suspensions to deal with, and I don't know enough about Michigan State's roster to know where those guys fall on the two deeps off the top of my head when, you know, reading the names in the ESPN stories. But they did a pretty good job against Michigan's run game. It didn't just completely destroy them. And that's all Illinois wants to do. They want to run the ball. They hand the ball off to Chase Brown a bunch, so I think they can slow that down just enough. Illinois 31-17.
Next up, a top 10 tussle in Death Valley. Under the lights at 7 p.m., number 10 LSU is a 13.5-point home dog to number 6 Alabama Chops.
I just don't think Bama's defense is good enough to cover these big numbers this year. I've gotten, you know, I thought, oh, they would just roll against A&M. Oh, they're not afraid of anybody. Like, no, I just don't think Alabama's defense is that good this year. So I've got Bama winning, but only by 10, 35-25.
Bama's coming off a bye.
So is last LSU.
Last time we saw Bama, they played Mississippi State. They beat them 30-6. Bye week, get healthy, freshman tackles at LSU. Will Anderson finally eats. Top 10 matchup, right? Wink, wink. I like Bama big, and Saban sending a message to LSU in this one. I like Bama 38-20.
7 o'clock at the Little Apple, number 13 at Kansas State is a 2.5-point home dog against number 24, Texas, Bo.
Yeah, I think it's an appropriate home dog. I think Texas with Ewers is a little bit different. I know it hasn't all been roses, but I just think they're the better team in this one. I think Kansas State's the dog to begin with. I like Texas winning it outright. The last time out, Texas lost to Oklahoma State. That was a couple of weeks ago. I think they'll rebound from that with the extra week and win in Manhattan and do so by more than 3. Be a fun game, probably 38-31, something like that.
Yeah, they both had recent games in where they had a big lead and they actually gave it up. Texas against Oklahoma State, Kansas State against TCU. And I feel like with what Kansas State did last week, oh, they just destroyed Oklahoma State, that this number is just kind of begging you to go with K-State, but I'm not falling for it. I got Texas 35-31.
At 7:30, Notre Dame is a 3.5-point home dog against number 4 Clemson Chops.
I think that the weather might be a factor, but I just what I saw the other week against Syracuse, where Clemson says, okay, we got to get a win. Let's go get a win. We'll run it on the ground. We'll just keep handing it off. We'll run it the entire second half. 3.5 points is enough for me to say that they can, or little enough that I think they can do it. I got Clemson 31-24. Sorry, James.
I think this one feels like it could be really, really ugly. I'm going to go hard here. I got Notre Dame keeping it close. Clemson winning 17-14. I think it's going to be ugly.
On Saturday, they're going to be singing in Piscataway. Woke up this morning, got yourself some fun. The Rutgers Scarlet Knights are 26-point home dogs against number 5 Michigan. Yes, it's a 7:30 kick for some reason, Bo.
Chops, now you get that reference.
Yeah,
now
I do.
You're into The Sopranos. Now you got it. You nailed it. Just wait till next year when you can do all the Richie, the Jackie Aprile Jr. jokes. All of that stuff's going to land for you now, buddy. Yeah, Michigan big. I think they send a message. Who coaches Rutgers? Greg Schiano. Jim Harbaugh knows he has a connection here. Any opportunity he has, I think they run it some more. I like Michigan winning big, 38-7.
I think the number's too big in a game where, you're right, Michigan is going to run it. The clock's going to run a lot there as well, and I just don't think they have enough time to get to it. So Michigan's going to win, but 38-13.
All right. Very good. That's where you stand on that. We'll take a look at a pretty quiet week, honestly, in the NFL coming up next. Shelley time in about 15 minutes. We'll pick the Buckeye game, give you three things to a Buckeye victory coming up at the end of the program. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
You love sports. We love sports. You love the Buckeyes. We love the Buckeyes. You love your mom. We love your mom. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. The uncle you never knew you had. The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
Pretty good weekend of college football. Less so on the NFL side of things, fellas. We did the scores yesterday, and as you're looking at this slate, and you say, like, what's the game of the week? Now, some of that's the fact that the Rams and the Bucks have both been disappointing, so that's a national game late. It sounds like Ryan Tannehill is not going to play for Tennessee. Tennessee's at Kansas City. Those are kind of the two in that That's Sunday Night Football, right? It's Tennessee at Kansas City, and then the mm-hmm. Rams and the Bucks is kind of the America's Game of the Week or whatever on Fox. The Monday Night Football is Baltimore at New Orleans. Who's even left standing? Michael Thomas cannot stand.
Rams-Bucks is actually CBS. So America's Game of the Week is Seahawks-Cardinals. That's what it says here on ESPN.
No. Okay, so then CBS would – no, America's Game of the Week is just CBS. So that it would be.
I thought Fox did America's Game of the Week.
They do, but it's basically the late night everybody gets it game.
Okay.
So which network gets the doubleheader? So they have the phrasing for it, but it's whichever one has the doubleheader. So it's a CBS doubleheader week. So then that's their game. So that forever it was, it's been a couple of years now, but forever it was AFC.
It used to be cleaner cut than this.
It's not now. It's really jumbled. So the Rams at Bucks is the national game. Seattle at Arizona on Fox would be a regional game that it's probably only shown in those two markets.
Yeah.
Everybody will get LA and the Bucks. We talked about Cincinnati. They get Carolina at their place. They're 7-point favorites. They're dealing with a lot on the back end from an injury standpoint. This is survive and advance mode for Cincinnati. That's all it is. They just need to get the win, get to the bye week, right? Because they got Panthers this week, then bye week, then Steelers, so they can get healthy a little bit. Keep their heads above water. Do not let this Carolina team hang around. This is absolutely an act accordingly game for them to just get to 5-4, get yourself a little bit of rest. Both the Browns and Steelers are off this week. So from a local interest, it's just
can't lose 1:00. If you don't play, baby.
Look at this early slate. You've got Chargers at Falcons, Miami at Chicago, Carolina at Cincinnati, Green Bay at Detroit, Indy and New England, the Bills and Jets, the Vikings and Washington, Vegas and Jacksonville. That's the entire early slate on Sunday.
There's only 2 4 o'clock games.
Right. There's not one of those games in the early window that if it's not your team, your rooting interest, that you're saying, oh, I got to see that. Not one.
The only close to good on good is maybe Buffalo, New York, and that's one of the biggest spreads of the week for a road team.
Is this a red zone weekend?
Yes.
Just leave that channel on.
Like, yeah.
If you or if the weather holds out and Sunday's decent, it's probably get outside weekend. If you want to take an NFL bye, you could probably do it this weekend.
Yeah, it's not great from that standpoint. Like, I don't even know if I do get two games, I don't even know which one I would want to be the second screen.
Oh, you know it's at 3 o'clock on Sunday? Cavs Lakers.
It's at 3?
Mm-hmm.
That's noon local time out in LA?
Yep.
Weird.
Yeah, Bally Total Fitness sports game.
Why in the blue hell would the Lakers play at noon on a Sunday?
It's questions that are good. Don't have the answer for
in
you.
In their own market. That would seems to make no sense to me.
Especially
that they would do
that. They're not going up against the Chargers or a Rams game.
I'll net it. It's 3:30.
3:30 local?
In Los Angeles.
But yeah, 3:30 in but 3:30 Eastern.
Yeah, still so, noon. No, so still 12:30. Yes.
Which is it?
I'm being facetious.
I've now gone cross-eyed.
It's a 12:30 Los Angeles tip.
Okay. 12:30. So it makes no sense that you would do that.
There's no Chargers or Rams game that you're going up against. They're both on the road.
It's still, though, nobody in L.A. cares about it from that perspective. I still don't know why you'd go up against the NFL all day. Like, and it feels like the Lakers always play at night. Like, that's the deal. The lights are down and you play at night. Like, play a matinee on a Sunday when it's not a national game. Like, in February when you have, like, you know, the ESPN or ABC afternoon games. That's wild. Absolutely wild.
I was wondering if they could have flexed this if the Lakers were good.
I don't know. Is it on ESPN?
No, or is it just a local? I don't think there's any national carrier.
It's just a local game. Yeah. I heard Bill Simmons gave the Cavs a lot of love on his podcast. Yeah, so they
hate when he does
in
that.
The finals, so.
He did it last year. They all got injured.
I knew he would do it, though, because they beat the Celtics twice in a week. So you knew that it was coming, that you were going to get the kiss of death from Simmons.
Wonder if he has a future on him.
Simmons.
Yeah, he's got it. It's a brutal weekend. Cincinnati, survive in advance. I'm curious to see what Justin Fields does with Chase Claypool and finally having like a big target that he can throw to down the field. There's a little bit to pay attention to on that side of things. Did you guys see Howie Roseman, by the way, yesterday? Did you see that clip?
I saw him. What
do you know the point of reference on it?
No, I didn't understand what it was saying. Yeah.
There's a fan in the stands that said, "You're forgiven, Howie." That's what the sign said. So Howie Roseman sees it, the general manager of Philly last night before their win against Houston, which they didn't cover. Bad job out of them. He comes over and goes, "You mean I'm forgiven for giving you your blank in Super Bowl, blank off.
Like, seems mighty petty.
You're forgive. I just you want. I got you a Super Bowl, man.
What's he forgiven for? I have no idea where.
Right.
That,
what did he do wrong? What,
they were
exactly?
bad for 2 years, and he rebuilt it right away.
Right away. Like, what's your complaint?
What's for brotherly love?
Things didn't work out, so they moved off the quarterback. They fired the coach, and they're good again.
Right.
Actually, he's doing his job really
quarterback
well.
In the second round, they built an offense around him. They're incredibly deep on both lines of scrimmage. He's got incredible weapons to throw to. Like, all of these things are true, and some guy's going, you're forgiven for what? I thought it was hilarious.
He didn't bring James Harden to Philadelphia.
No, it's not his fault. It's not his fault. I just thought it was funny that he clapped back at him.
Real quick, speaking of Philly, did you see the – I'm sure it's not an MLS reporter. I don't know. But a guy talking to one of the MLS players before the MLS Cup this weekend, Philly's in it. And he was asking him about, hey, how do you feel about, you know, the Eagles are good, the Phillies are in the World Series. How does it feel playing in Philadelphia? And the guy was really confused. He's like, well, I don't – and then he's like, I don't play for Philadelphia. He plays for LAFC. And you know, bad luck.
Oh, you hate
that. He had a name placard with the LAFC logo on it, too. Like, not good.
That's not great. Not a great look. Not at all. All right, going to be a great – we've never done this before. We are going to do an interview with a human being in Finland. Shelly Time from Finland, coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
1, 2, 3. The Daily Coach Ryan Day Show is brought to you locally by Credit Union of Ohio and by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This is the Daily Show with Coach Ryan Day, brought to you by Safe Flat Auto Glass. You've talked about the move Chip Traynham has made from linebacker to running back. Obviously, that speaks to his incredible skill set, but also the willingness to do what's best for the team has to be a big part of that, too.
Yeah, he's very unselfish. When Chip came out of high school, he wanted to play running back, and we said he could start at running back, but he probably was going to play some linebacker. So he decided to go to Arizona State, and we said, well, if you ever decide to change your mind, we're here. He decided to change his mind, come back, play linebacker, and now he's back at running back. So, life works in funny ways, but his attitude has been excellent. He just wants to do what's best for the team, and I think that unselfishness is really paying off for him.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Check your watch jackets, fans. It's Shelly time.
Oh, we're making a little bit of history today on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. For the first time ever, this show goes to Finland. That's right, a little bit of Shelly time in Finland. Our Finnish correspondent joining us now. Give me a lay of the land, buddy. What's Finland like?
Oh, it's great to hear your voice. Finland is it's really a neat place, and you know, we got to Helsinki on Monday, and just a beautiful old city on the Baltic Sea. We had a perfect sunny day, so we got to see, like, you know, kind of what the city was about. Interesting here, the sun doesn't get up past, like, you know, like 8:30 in the morning. That sun is kind of takes a peek. It's, you know, just a couple hours in. It doesn't get higher than that all day. Whoa. So it stays rather, like, yeah, it's kind of different, but it's it's great. The people are awesome. The food is spectacular. They love their karaoke bars. So we enjoyed that for the first 4 days. And then we came up to Tampere. It's an hour and 30 minute train ride. And you know, I didn't really, once we got here, I was kind of keeping it close to the hotel, which is attached to the arena that the game's at tonight. But today I went for a walk downtown, and this is the same thing. It's just, you turn a corner and there's restaurants and real vibrant, you know, everyone's riding their bikes. It's old churches, river going right through it. So we're between two lakes connected by a river, and the city of Tampere sits in it. And it seems like... I've seen some interesting things out on the streets, but it's really impressive. Clean and fun.
Give me what's the closest North American doppelganger for Finland? Like, is there any place here that feels sort of similar?
I'd say Pittsburgh.
Interesting.
You know, you got the rivers. Yeah, it's got some history. There's a lot of good stuff in the city, and I think you have to seek it out. That's kind of what this is like.
Give me
I would compare. I don't know what Helsinki's like. I'd say Helsinki's like, I can't really, I thought Helsinki was like kind of where I grew up, like Halifax, so on the ocean, on a hill, kind of a, one of those cities, but no, very impressed. I would come back actually.
All right. Give me a cuisine highlight. Give me a Finnish cuisine highlight from the week.
Well, they talk about this salmon soup, right?
Oof,
which is
God
just,
forbid.
And the, my presentation was they had these little baked or boiled potatoes in the bottom of a, of my dish and a piece, a huge chunk of salmon. Then they just poured this creamy, hot, creamy sauce on it. And I was like, wow. I mean, it was spectacular. And it's a delicacy here, I guess, or so it's common. Anyways, it was so good. I had two in one sitting and kind of ruined my night later, but you know what I mean? It was worth it. It was one of those moments where hey, it was just like, I was in the right place doing the right thing. So I did it twice.
How much English is spoken over there? Would it be easy for, if a fan wanted to do this and take on this trip? And cause I think this would be pretty cool if you were a Jackets fan, and I'm sure there's some that you've seen, like to go over, spend the week in Finland and go to some games, see your favorite team and play over there. How accessible is it from that standpoint?
Everyone speaks English.
Wow.
You know, and some of them, some people would rather stay with Finnish before they, you know, like, I got on the wrong seat on the train ride up here because I had to come up early to do an interview. So I got on the train to Tampere and from Helsinki, and I sat in the wrong seat because I was just kind of like, oh, this seat's open. I'm just going to sit here. There's nobody on the train. So the train stops, and there's 50 empty seats. But wouldn't you know it, the guy that gets on, I'm in his seat. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be one of these days. So I'm like, what'd you say? And he kept saying it in Finnish over and over and over. And I was like, well, I don't know where my seat is. And then he switched to English immediately. He's like, oh, you're downstairs in seat number 91. I said, well, thank you. That would have been a lot quicker. I didn't say it, but they speak English and they're very, very nice people. And you know, the kids learn it in school. When I played here, actually, on the bus, we used to watch movies. I think I told you this. And there was Finnish subtitles on English movies. So it was, you feel very comfortable here in that regard.
That's absolutely awesome. How big of a deal is Patrick Laine in Finland?
Yeah, he's the deal. This is where he grew up, and ever since we got to, I mean, it's like, you know, the icons in the U.S. that have, you know, one name stars.
Yep.
Type, you know, he's a one name star. He's Patrick. I mean, he's Patrick Laine, and everywhere they talk about him, they smile about him. Kids are excited to see him. There was a kid yesterday waiting for autographs, and he was asking every player that went by for a stick, just kind of in between the hotel and the arena. They're connected. He didn't want autographs. He wanted sticks, and he wanted to know where Patrick Laine was going to be, and did he drive, and was he walking to the hotel, and where he was right now. And I hung out with this kid for a bit, but Patrick didn't come by. But it's like, yeah, he's the biggest. It's amazing to see how much an impact he has, because at 15 he started being talked about as a superstar, and they've watched him closely ever since. He did come over in 18 with the Jets and play in Finland, but that was in Helsinki. So this is the first time he gets to play in his hometown at Tampere, and he needs a bodyguard.
That's great. That's really, really cool. I can't imagine how cool this is for him. We've had so much fun talking about all of this, and part of that's because I was very, very interested. Part of it's by design, because the last time we saw this team play, it wasn't good. And it hasn't been good for a minute, Jode.
Yeah.
Did this week in Finland, obviously the hope is that it's almost like a mini camp and you could kind of reset this thing. Have you seen evidence of that this week?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, what I've seen is, some people who are really upset with what's going on. You know, we left last Sunday after the Jersey game, and it was, you know, you hope you go into these events feeling good, and and you know, they have a good time. There's stuff to enjoy, but there's still that overhanging, like, you know, we got to get our stuff together here, and we'll see tonight. You know, I do know that they've done some good stuff, and it is important for people to get together who work in a team setting. I mean, you've got to get together away from the rink, and there's no better way to do it than on the road for teams, and sometimes you squeeze it in. Well, they didn't have to squeeze anything in. So you kind of sense that, you know, the time spent together, the conversations about what's happening, a couple practices they've had, it was in with one purpose, and that was to get this together and not see what we saw the past two games. And tonight is just going to be simply worried about effort and energy and compete, which things we haven't had to talk about with the Blue Jackets for some time. We've known that the team that leaves here has gotten a bite taken out of them at least. And maybe they get the 2 points, but boy, I tell you, it was a long night for the opposition, and we haven't seen that. So, you know, I think every person has that where they can put themselves in the spots to drive and work and compete, you know, and give it your kind of that fight. And I think this team does too, but we'll see tonight. I mean, it was so bad last week, and we're kind of wondering what happened there. So yeah. I'm optimistic, but I don't want to get ahead of myself because they've only practiced a couple times a pregame skate. And, you know, I think this trip will pay off for them somewhere, but I don't know if it's going to pay off right away here.
All right, buddy, I'll get you out of here on this. Whose idea was it? You've seen the image floating around, I assume, Rimmer posted of you and him just looking like blue steel, just looking like the coolest customers ever. I mean, whose idea is that? How does that image come about? It's taken the internet by storm.
So we have so usually we open our show in the booth live, but tonight, with everything going on, there's going to be 9 broadcasts of this show. International, Colorado radio, everyone. There's 9 broadcasts all over the world of this show tonight. So we couldn't do our open live, so we had to do a taped open. So we taped our open outside today. And as we're sitting there freezing, they're trying to get the angle of our shot with an iPhone and kind of get the right image of where we're standing. So we just stand there, and that was just a natural pose. So, I mean, that's what we do. That's what we look like mostly when we just hang out together, me and Rimmer. Just see how much confidence he had?
Oh, my God. Oozing confidence. Are you kidding me? It was like the guy was like pure sex panther. It was unbelievable.
We were like, let's get this show on the road, fellas.
Yeah, I loved it. Hey, buddy, great catching up with you. Excited to have you back. Enjoy the last couple of days, and we'll talk to you when you get back.
All right. See you both. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
A little bit of Shelly time for you here on a Football Friday. Give you 3 things to a Buckeye victory, and your score predictions coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We aim to punch you in the face with as many games as we can. You're home of the Buckeyes, Blue Jackets, Crew, and Browns.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Bo knows many people.
He talks to the interesting ones on this show.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, Reese, what do you have in the poll today?
Daily Fan Poll is sponsored by Dick Masheter Ford. What will be the outcome of Ohio State's game at Northwestern? Right now, 2% of respondents say the Wildcats will win. 52% say Buckeyes by 20 to 38, so that is not entering Cover City. 40% say 39 or more.
Now so in Cover City.
Now in Cover City. And then 4.5 say they're going to win by 1 to 19.
All right, there you go. All right, 3 things for a Buckeye victory. Hit it, boys.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3
things.
Sponsored by Custom Air.
Custom Air.
Custom Solutions.
Custom Comfort.
Look, it's 38 and a half or 38, whatever it is. Like, this is going to be a beatdown. So, I guess I'll start here. Do you. Be who you are. Do not let the elements or the wind stop you. If you want to throw the ball, then damn it, you've got a pro quarterback, you've got pro receivers, go throw the ball and have him drive the ball in the wind. I think it's really important that Ohio State does that. My hunch is that they will. I have absolutely no trepidation going into this, and I think this is going to be a beatdown in every single possible way. But I would like to see Ohio State just be who they are and expect that we will. I think you'll see CJ throw it plenty. I think they'll ignore the elements and play through it. And honestly, it's going to be a sales pitch because if you're going to play in the league, you're going to have to play in elements like this. So I'm curious about that. What does it look like for CJ throwing in inclement weather? It's a Southern California kid. What's that look like? That'll be something I'll be looking forward to on Saturday.
I agree with you on that, but I also think they're going to be able to get their yards in other places as well. And I've been, you know, 2 straight weeks of rushing attacks that have been under 100 yards. Well, this Northwestern run defense isn't very good.
No.
Run the ball for 250 yards. You're going to have a lot of handoffs, I think, in the second half, especially that you can add to that total. So that's what I'm looking for, because if you're going to be able to run the ball effectively ever, it has to at least be in this one. Otherwise, then I have questions about how they can run the ball. So I want to see that at least on the ground, but that's going to be more of a first half thing, and then the yardage will probably get there as well in the second half as they're running the clock out.
Yeah, I'll piggyback off that for my first thing. Swing the hammer. If the Hawkeyes can get 178 yards on the ground, then OSU should get more, or be able to get more if, in fact, they want to, which means that if things get murky early, don't move away from the run game. Dive into the run game and just beat the hell out of Northwestern on the ground. Take their turf and use it against them.
Yeah, number two for me, I'm going to flip it to the other side. JT Tuimoloau had one of the greatest performances in Ohio State history last Saturday against Penn State. I had a lot of people ask me this week, well, is he as good as Chase Young? Is he as good as a Bosa? We'll find out over the next month, because I think it's big for him if he wants to be in that echelon. And that's what he was coming out of high school, right? That was his hello world moment, was last Saturday in Happy Valley. It's important that he stacks that. So I want to see it. Not, you don't need to go crazy. I don't need touchdowns and interceptions and all that. But I want him around the quarterback. I want him getting home. I want tackles for loss. I want last week to be just the tip of the iceberg of what the guy's capable of. So I'll have my eye on that on Saturday.
Sticking on the defensive side of the ball here, I want them to keep the turnovers up. They've done a really good job of maximizing turnovers against Iowa and Penn State. So keep doing that. And specifically interceptions. If they want to drop back and pass against Ohio State, well, make them pay for it. Five takeaways for me. And you know what? I'll count turnovers on downs with that because it's in the name as well.
I like it.
My second thing, I am once again asking Ryan Day to allow Kyle McCord to run the full complement of Ohio State's offense if and when he enters the game.
He's entering.
I think we might see Devin Brown in this one. That's how it could get.
Then I'll amend it. I am once again asking Ryan Day to allow Kyle McCord and Devin Brown to run the full complement of Ohio State's offense if and when they enter tomorrow's game.
Yeah. Look, this is going to be a struggle. I mean, I think the elements actually make it a little more interesting, but this is a really overmatched opponent. So finally, for me, it is one of the absolute bedrocks of which this show is built. It's act accordingly. Just do you. This is a game that no one's going to watch outside of people in this market, Buckeye fans around the country, Northwestern fans, whoever they are, they're not watching this thing. So this is something where when we watch the other games throughout the day, make it look impressive. I think they will. This has to be a bottom line win for the Buckeyes, and those of you who listen regularly know what that means.
And even with the weather, don't fall for it. Don't go in with your friend who's like, we'll take a shot every time they score. Mm-mm. Don't do it. Not in this one. That would be a recipe for disaster for you. But on those kind of points, get in, get the points, get the yards, get out of there. Take your victory, get your starters out of there. I think this is going to be a game that's going to be well in hand by the third quarter, so kind of going off Reeser. Let those backups get in there and let them actually play a football game, because Northwestern, while not very good, they're going to be sound. They're well coached. So your guys are going to get the right type of look by playing a real game in that one.
And my third thing, play clean. Let's avoid mental errors. Let's avoid dumb penalties. Let's not sleepwalk into this game knowing that the athletic talent for OSU is far superior to Northwestern. Go in, dominate early, put a bunch of points up, and get the second teamers in minutes after the second half begins. And that will likely ensure a 45-3 victory for Ohio State. Good, the second week in a row, I am in Cover City. Beep, beep.
Good job, so, you. Good segue.
All season long, I've been inviting Ryan Day and the Buckeyes to my penthouse in Cover City. I've not left. Some weeks they join me.
Who's cleaning
some,
it?
Some teams they don't. Oh, we don't clean it. It's just dirty.
Why would they want to go? That's why they didn't cover last week.
Is that why? Well, hopefully they can make it this week. I'll have the shower open for them after they get all dirty out there. OSU 52-10.
Yeah, I'm with you guys as well. It's just overmatched. I would hate for this to be something like, 42-0, and then they get a nonsense touchdown late, but I don't think that'll happen. I like the Buckeyes big in this one, 49-zip as well. Enjoy your Buckeye football Saturday. We're back on Monday to break it all down. Rothman and Ice up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Man and Bone have a simple philosophy for their show. Talk some sports, have some laughs, and get very fat.
Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not. Call 1-800.